on the seas and oceans. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall never surrender.
Many seeds to sow. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday. Let's see, goodness, what's it, May? Didn't write down the date. May 4th, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. That's 605-562-3140. Participant code is 385-698. That's 385-698. All radio hosts are invited into the queue if they have a question or a comment. And please support our business partners. You'll find them on the right-hand side of our website. And so for more information, you can click on their banners and you'll find that info. Also, anybody that can afford to give us $5 a month as a donation, really appreciate it. If enough people did that, we wouldn't have any financial problems. We do have a financial concern. We'll talk about that after we go through tonight's topic. Okay, we'll get started. I'm going to start off out of God's Word. We're in Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to be reading, I believe it's verses 20 through 27. Yep, 20 through 27. God tells us that wisdom is life and wisdom is health. So, Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears into my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart from all keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the paths of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. Okay, tonight's topic is going to be habeas corpus. I hope a lot of the state coordinators are here tonight, and those people particularly interested in becoming working with the grand jury as goodness, what do we call them? Okay, well, anyway, working with the grand jury. Because habeas corpus is probably the most important writ we can write, and administrators, that was the word I was looking for. Habeas corpus is the most important writ we can write. It's definitely the most powerful one. Once filed into the courts, there's nothing they can do about it. The big problem people have had with writing writs is they go and they request a habeas corpus from the judge. And once they make that, because that is the process, when you write a writ, you have to, particularly habeas corpus, you have to petition the court. And then the court has to approve it. And once the approval process is through, then they have to answer it. Well, no judge is going to approve a habeas corpus. It doesn't happen. They've been trying to eliminate habeas corpus for quite some time. And so once the process is in and approved, it has to go through. Then there's process and procedure of the court that no one has ever broken. So it would be really strange for a judge to step up and try to remove that from the process, because ultimately the law says 20 years in jail for that guy. So I just don't see the possibility of that happening. I've done a writ of habeas corpus personally for someone a little while back, and they were released from prison. And I followed the process the way that Bill Thornton taught it. And so we took his framework for filing for a writ of habeas corpus. Very few people are aware or have any knowledge of how to do this and how to do it properly. There is a procedure. Really, it's kind of a dance between paperwork. There's a petition that has to go forward, and then an approval of that petition and an order to go out for the individuals that have to answer to show cause. And if they don't show cause within 3 days, at 5 o'clock in the evening of the third day, you can write the next part of the paperwork and file it with the courts for default, and then a process of removal of the individual who is being incarcerated to be removed from, to be loosed from jail or removed from being held into that court. And the final result is not only a default for the purpose of releasing the person from prison, but it also defaults their process of their court. Whatever they're doing, they have to cease and desist. So that is, that's pretty powerful, and that's the way it works. Now, let me think about this. There's four parts to doing a habeas corpus. Tonight we're going to cover the first two. And for anybody who would like to have a copy of what we're going to share tonight, go up to nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on media. I'm going to do that myself and make sure I give you the proper place to get it. I think we set up a place. Yeah, we set up a place called Habeas Corpus Filings. And you'll find two papers there, petition for habeas corpus and a writ habeas corpus to show cause. And we're going to go through both of those paperworks tonight and teach people how to do that. Now, as I had mentioned, you know, we worked off the framework of Bill Thornton, and we made some changes, quite a few changes, added a lot of stuff to it, you know, gave it our own way of looking at things, which what's going on in the court, but particularly we're doing it from the perspective of a grand jury. The grand jury is the is ultimately the tribunal of the court, in a sense, until a case goes to trial, the grand jury makes any decisions that have to be necessary concerning that trial. Of course, that hasn't been done like that for quite some time, but that's the normal process. But it is the king's bench, and the grand jury can look into anything. A habeas corpus is a process and a procedure for a grand jury to look into a matter. If the grand jury feels that there is a concern with someone who has been incarcerated, and it comes to their attention that it was done without due process, by all means, it would be the grand jury to investigate it, and the way to investigate it is by writ of habeas corpus to the particular court and judge and all of the parties involved, which they would have to respond. And so it's a very powerful paper. It must be answered. It moves very quickly. 3 days is the process, period. There is a second part of the process, which once the paperwork, which we'll cover in a short while. I'm not going to go into that now. We're going to go through the process to look at it. Now, right now, when we're working with this, we actually have a few more habeas corpuses going forward. I don't remember exactly what the number is, but if I recall, I think we have at least 3 more coming down the pike, and possibly 4, and who knows how many more are going to come through. So especially anyone that's involved with us that needs a habeas corpus done, we'll by all means want to do this for you. Now, a habeas corpus is in the investigation mode. So all that needs to really happen is for 4 administrators to come together and decide to go forward with an investigation. And so they put the paperwork through, okay? The first part of it, of course, is the petition. They read the petition that comes from the individual requesting the habeas corpus. It must be accompanied by affidavits, at least 1, preferably 2 or 3. 3 or more is what's really desired, but 1 will suffice. In a court of law, it only takes one sworn affidavit to rule the court. If it's not rebutted by another affidavit, it rules the court as truth. But we'd like to get 2 or 3 if possible. So usually we'll ask for people or the witnesses to make affidavits, and then we file it through the court process. So the petition comes to the grand jury. And if it is if there's enough evidence or just enough information to be reasonable that, hey, you know, it looks like due process was not held, let's have the court that incarcerated him or detained him or her to show cause. And if you can't show cause, you got to release the body. And the habeas corpus, I think it was Blackstone who said it was the most powerful, greatest paper or writ that common law has ever produced, because you can literally remove people from the jurisdiction of any court and bring them into a court of law, and that would be the process that if anyone was going to go after these people, they'd have to come through the court of law. Most people are not being held with any due process, nor do they wish to go through due process and put any kind of a commitment of a sworn statement on into a court file or on paper. And I'm talking about the government or the courts. They don't want to do that. I'm blown away by the fact that how many court cases, just about every court case out there, seems to go forward without any affidavits. It's just mind-blowing to think about it, because in no court of law, for sure, that's possible. And ultimately, even in their court, you know, they're running chancery. Even chancery requires an affidavit in order for a court case to go forward. You know, court of equity, which they claim to be operating under, requires an affidavit in order for a court case. If there's no affidavit, there is no court case. You have to have a sworn statement from somebody making a claim. And without it, there is nothing. Okay, so anyway, it's four parts to the process to write a habeas corpus. First part is the paper needs to be requested through a petition. Now, we've put a framework out there for a petition for this process, and you can pretty much follow through. Someone has to mute their mic out there, Gerard. You know, we put the framework out there. Now, the group that's working with us to develop and make things a lot easier for a lot of us the Investigative Response Committee. So any state group, any group of people in any state, the people who are holding the seals, the people who are holding the mailboxes, the people who are involved and active, you need at least four people within your state. And if you want to do a habeas corpus for anyone in your state, we'll assist you in doing that. Matter of fact, no one should do a habeas corpus without learning the process and going through the procedure with us. So, you know, people that want to get involved with this should join the Investigative Response Committee and study the process with that group. And whenever anybody wants to put paperwork through, they need to run it through that group in order to make sure that everything is done correctly. And then we take it until that group feels confident that they're able to be sure of their decisions on that. They would run it through national. So there's a group of us here on the national end that know how to do this, and we'll make sure that it's done properly and all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. But definitely nobody should do a habeas corpus under a seal anywhere in a nation without going through this committee and through national, and we'll train you. And when everyone feels confident that a group of people in a particular state can do it but it should always, look at, you should always check everything out anyway. You can always run it through the investigative committee, see once what they think, and get a second opinion. But in any event, definitely until you become approved in being able to do it, you don't want to do it. It's kind of a tricky paper on the one hand, and it's really sort of a handshake back and forth between two papers. And so anyway, the first paper is a petition for habeas corpus, and it's for cause. And for cause means it has to have something to do with a violation of an unalienable right. And of course, due process is that violation. Once that paper is received, which we're going to read through that in a minute, once that paper is received, then a writ of habeas corpus order to show cause goes forward. And ultimately, we order the judge to do certain things, which we'll cover that because we want to read that too. And if they answer the habeas corpus, then the judge must set forth, and this is process and procedure, it's the way it works. He must set forth a date, and in that date, they must notify what's called the next friend, the person who wrote the paper, the request on behalf of the individual that's been incarcerated. So they are notified of a date along with all of the people that have to answer, which includes, in this case, it's a federal case, so the United States attorney must answer. The judge that was sitting in that court must answer. The jailer must respond and answer. And there is a fourth party. The U.S. District Attorney. Okay, yes, and the marshal. Well, the marshal in the case is the individual who arrested them. Okay, in this case, it was an FBI agent. And, of course, like I said, this is a federal case, so a U.S. Marshal, not a sheriff. The U.S. Marshal is responsible to move prisoners about. If a prisoner is needed in a court for a certain purpose, the judge orders the marshal to take that person and bring them to the court at a certain time and a certain date. And so, ultimately, the marshal, of course, is also in charge of the prison. whatever federal prison is out there within that district, that federal marshal is responsible for that prison. Just like in the county, if it's a state case, it's the sheriff, you go to deliver the body into the court, and that sheriff is responsible for that prison and anything that goes on. And let me just be a little redundant again here. As far as the U.S. attorney is concerned, because this is a federal case, they must be notified and respond. Now, the U.S. attorney is also the prosecutor. He's the guy that brings the charges up against the individual. If this was on the state level, it would be the district attorney within the county, which would be the prosecutor. And then you have to also notify the attorney general of the state. Okay, so there's an extra individual to be notified on the state level. And so it's very important to notify all four parties. If you don't do this correctly and you don't serve them correctly and they are one of them is not notified, then it's it renders the process void. You have to do it all over again. But, you know, it's just you have to get all parties involved. So generally, again, there's four parties that have to be noted. The attorney, the United States attorney on the federal level, the United States attorney, the district court magistrate that was involved with the case, the marshal, and the arresting officer. In this case, it was an FBI agent. Okay. Now, once that paper is put forward and comes forward from the petitioner, as I mentioned, then it's answered. And once it's answered, which now commands all those people to show cause, the judge is then commanded that in 3 days, when all the paperwork is in, then they are to call for a hearing. And everybody has to come to the hearing, and the person who is the prisoner must be brought to the hearing. And during that hearing, the judge gets to hear all of the situations, you know, the stories from everyone, and then he must then act accordingly and dispose of the case. And this is how we ended it on the command to them. The court is, and this is on the response to the order to show cause, and this is what the judge is commanded to do. This is the last part of the paper, which we'll read in full in a minute, but it says this court is to notify, the court is to notify this body, that being the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury in our case, by fax and next friend, by phone, to witness on May 8, 2015, as to the day and time of the hearing to be held at the above said courthouse. At the hearing, the judge shall summarily hear and determine the facts and dispose of the matter as law and justice requireth under the rules of common law, not chancery, and fax and mail a certified copy of decision immediately, 24 hours, to the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, and we give the address and the fax number for judicial review. We're not going to permit a judge to make a decision in this case without us reviewing it. We're going to command them to do it according to common law, and they're going to hear and decide the matter as law and justice requires. Now, the other side of this coin is when we write to show cause, they can't answer it. So they're going to default. So there will not be that hearing. But should I can't think of a case where they would answer, but if they did, okay, then a hearing has to happen. And that hearing has to be done within 3 days of the date that we gave the 3 days. On that date, it has to be within 3 days, and they can give them up to 20 days if they have a good reason to request for more time. So within 3 to 20 days, they have to have that physical hearing, and then they have to make a decision, and the person is either brought back into the jail or released. But again, that hearing does not happen if they don't respond in writing within 3 days of the paper that we sent. Bill Thornton has reported that, this has been done a number of times through his teachings and people who have done it, and they've always defaulted. I did it once, and they defaulted. We anticipate their default because if they answer, they have to swear to the answer. And if they swear to the answer, and they answer, well, they're going to, you know, put their own foot in their mouth, and actually they'll be admitting to a crime, because the truth is that they're committing a crime. If they don't answer, then it's a default. So either way, and again, they're admitting to the crime also, because silence when you have a duty to speak is fraud. And these people have all participated in the incarceration of an individual, and if they don't answer for cause why they're holding them, that's a fraud. On top of that, that default can be used by the individual to now go back into the federal court and sue. After all, they didn't answer. And you could sue them with another show cause, saying, okay, I'm going to give you another chance to answer. They'll default again, and then you'll file a default motion, and the case is over. So it's a very powerful instrument, and if you use it and leverage it properly, you can do a lot of stuff in the court. But again, I want to say this. Anybody who is going to be, you know, listening in on this, you have to be real careful and really do it in a very professional way, and it should definitely go through the grand jury to have it done. To do it, there's the other way that Thornton does it, and that's a little chancy, but nevertheless, you need to be careful with your paperwork. Okay, so we're going to go through this. Now, there is two other parts to this, and we're going to cover this next week. This paperwork has been already mailed out. It's been received by the other side. They're going to serve tomorrow, which is Tuesday. Tuesday, the day of serving is not counted. So 3 days is Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Friday at 5 p.m., whatever time, this is Utah time, then they have to have that information faxed to us, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And they also have to get the information also to the person who filed for as the next friend. If they don't, and they won't, then that evening we could prepare the paperwork for a default. And the default, we can file that through the mail on Saturday. They would receive it by Monday or Tuesday. And then filing right behind that on Monday, we would file what's called a memorandum of decision. And that's the fourth paper. So there's the default that follows after the 3 days. Then a day later, there is the memorandum of decision. And from that point, they have 5 days to release the prisoner. They're commanded to release immediately. But there seems to be a grace period of 5 days for them to respond. And that's exactly what happened with the paper that I had filed some months back for somebody else. Now, back then, I didn't really have a good enough understanding of all the paperwork. Nevertheless, it still worked. I never filed the last two papers, the default paper and the other paper. But they took the 3 days plus the 5 days. That person was released exactly on the last day. I thought that they had broken the law because they held them an additional 8 days. But now I have found out that is within the criteria. Okay. Okay, and now also the trial, whatever court they're in, once they default here, that trial is shut down. Cease and desist order goes out from the federal court to that trial, you know, that court, and they have no jurisdiction. They can't go forward. It's done. So that's how you can close down a case with habeas corpus also. This is a very powerful paper. I've always known it was powerful. Like I said, I've used it once, and I never really realized how powerful this really is, because you can really do almost anything with this habeas corpus in any court. But again, nobody should be filing habeas corpuses and doing paperwork if they don't know what they're doing. And if you want to know how to do it, then learn how to do it. Do it correctly. Go to the people. When your paperwork is ready to go, come to National Liberty Alliance and go to the group that we put together to check these things. It'll be the Investigative Response Committee. And if you have any errors or problems in there, they will help you. They, of course, will be working with us on the national end for any questions and problems and concerns. But again, either the unified state grand jury should do the filing for people within their state, or the unified United States common law grand jury for anywhere in the nation who can do it. And that's what we're doing right now. So again, be careful with this paper. Let's not, do it improperly. Okay, so we're going to read through this paperwork. Again, it's very powerful. This is called the petition. The petition for habeas corpus. So on the top of this, and again, if you want to get a copy of this and read along, it's on the media page, nationallibertyalliance.org. Highlight that, click on the media page on the blue bar, and come down to habeas corpus, and you'll find the two papers here. And every time we file a habeas corpus, we will be filing those papers here also. So again, you'll see it done by the state. They're trying to remove someone from a state court, a town court, a city court, removing them from a federal court. We'll have all those examples there as time goes on, and it'll be good homework to read through the case to see, and you'll see the framework. Matter of fact, we will post a framework paper. I've written a framework paper with red letters in it on the places where people need to fill in the particular information on your case. You have to curtail it according to the facts of the case that you're dealing with. And I want to go through that, and maybe before next Monday when we'll read the other two papers, maybe we'll have those posted. And with all that together, and working with the committee here for the Investigative Response Committee, anybody should be able to learn to do this. And we should use this very heavily in the court everywhere. We should hit it hard. Okay. Starts off with the petitioner's name, which is the person that's been incarcerated. That person's name and address is on top. We have to find the next friend. If someone wants to get someone out of jail, usually if someone calls us up and says, hey, someone's in jail and we'd like to try to get them out, can you help us? Well, sure. Are you willing to be the next friend? Well, what's the next friend? A next friend is someone who is acting on behalf of the petitioner, and it works under Federal Rule 1728 U.S.C. Okay, so the federal courts recognize a next friend. Okay, and the next friend fills out the paperwork and swears to everything on the paperwork to the best of their knowledge, upon information and belief. Okay, they can do something like that. If they absolutely know the truth, they want to make the point that I was a witness. I'm there. I saw this and this, that, and the other thing. And then as you're telling the rest of the story, I've been informed by the petitioner, the petitioner who has been incarcerated, that A, B, and C happened. We will try to get an affidavit from the person who's incarcerated too, if possible. But definitely the next friend has got to do one. Usually there'll be a couple of hearings when someone is arrested, and usually the next friend would be there, and of course they would want to alert courtroom observers group here at National Liberty Alliance, and we'd put the word out and try to get some people out there as witnesses. And of course the next friend, we would tell them, make sure you get one or two witnesses, because we want as many affidavits as possible. So three or four or five people to go to the court or more and to observe what's going on. That helps to intimidate the judge a little bit too. And then write their affidavits. Okay, and that's what we act upon. There's a list of paperwork that's necessary. It's very simple. You got to get the docket. Once you get the docket lists out all of the information that has taken place since the person was arrested. And it also has a copy of the arrest warrant or a paper filled out by the arresting officer. It should be sworn to. It never is. If there was a grand jury involved with it, a puppet grand jury, there'll be a paper from that. If there wasn't, then there wouldn't be. If there was a warrant, there would be, and it would show whether there is a wedding signature or not. Any court document without the signature of an officer of the court is irrelevant. It has no power, no authority. A clerk cannot sign it. Doesn't have the power or the authority. You can't rubber stamp it. It's got to be the signature of a judge or a magistrate. And there is a difference to them. People can be a magistrate and not a judge, or they could be a judge, and all judges are also magistrates. So a judge can go into an equity court, or the judge can act as a magistrate in a court of law. a magistrate can act in a court of law, but they cannot go into an equity court as a judge. And that's the main difference in common law. In the way they run things, they don't care. They'll let them go on either side, and they both make decisions as judges, and that's not due process in the way the common law works. Okay, so the person, the next friend, must get to get all the information. And again, as I said, when you go to the court, you go to the, and you get the docket, and when you get the docket, you'll have any evidence that is in that case is attached to the docket. So all the paperwork you can get in one shot by just going down to the clerk in the federal court and get the paperwork. If it is sealed and you can't get a copy, then the grand jury can do a writ of certiorari, I believe it's pronounced, which requires them, and I'll double check on that, reading that pronunciation later and make sure I'm saying the right writ. I think it's a writ of certiorari. And that requires the court to turn over the paper to the grand jury, which is the docket and all the information. They have to give everything. So that's a different writ that one would have to write. And of course, that would mean the person would be in jail that much longer until we get the paperwork and then finally, do the writ of habeas corpus and go through the process. Okay, so we have the petitioner's name and address on the top. We have the next friend right below it with their address and phone number. And we have a note on the top right side, all papers hand-delivered. We have to get a certificate of service for this that prove that it's been served, and it's got to be served personally. It goes to the – and we want to go to the district court, obviously, that where this case is taking place. Again, if it's a state court – or if it's a county court, or if it's a city court, or if it's a town court, or any other court other than a federal court, whatever district that court falls in, whatever federal district that court falls into, that's where we would file the writ for habeas corpus in that federal court. And we would address it to the chief judge, and that's who would have to respond to this. And they won't, of course, and that's okay. We take our prerogative to just do all the work for them. And if it's a federal court, let's say whatever district it is in, okay, then we have to file it in the same district. If the chief judge was the judge that was hearing the case and made the decision and incarcerated the person, then we have to get a different judge. You can go right online in that district and look up judges and just take the second judge in command then. But usually that's not the case. And you're not going to let the judge that is in the other court make any decisions. After all, they were in a foreign court to begin with. But you're not going to ask them to make any decisions, and you're not going to put them into the head of this thing. You're going to get the chief judge for that particular district. So that's what we do to the chief judge, in this case a guy named David Nuffer. And we put comma, common law. Why? Because we're opening up a common law court in that district court. So it would be the United States District Court for the District of Utah in this case. Then we have the address. And then underneath that, referencing a case, and we get the case number, comma, statutory. So we're taking a statutory court that doesn't have the jurisdiction over this individual and bringing him into a common law court, which is in the same building and the same general area. It's the United States District Court for the District of Utah. Same address. So it could be the very same courtroom, just going to be two different judges. And one statutory, a court not of record, and one is common law, a court of record. Then we have, the person's name, petitioner, against, and then we name all of the people. In this case, there's four individuals: Special Agent U.S. Special Assistant U.S. Attorney Daniel R. Strong, FBI Agent S.A. Jewel Olaturison, U.S. Marshal James A. Thompson, and Magistrate Judge Dustin B. Plead, respondents. Okay, so that is the judge that heard the case, and on the top we went to the Chief Judge David Nuffer, different judge. Okay, and it says petition for habeas corpus for cause. And we have a quote here from the American Jurisprudence Constitutional Law, subsection 326. Free justice and open courts remedy for all injuries. In most of the states' constitution, there are provisions varying slightly in terms, which stipulate that justice must be administrated to and without delay or denial, without sale or prejudice, and so on and so forth. Now, that's on a subnote. A footnote. I'm not going to read through that, but people should read these footnotes because the footnotes make the case and gives the authorities for what we're talking about. But we did notice that this is a petition for habeas corpus for cause, okay? And so it's a removal into a common law court, ultimately, because of a violation of someone's unalienable rights. And then we start off with the paperwork. Now, petition for the writ of habeas corpus. Comes now Stephen Dean, hereinafter petitioner, one of the people of Utah State, in this court of record under Article 3, Subsection 2, whereas the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law arising under the Constitution, and Article 4, Subsection 4, whereas the United States shall guarantee to every state of the Union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasions of rights. The jurisdiction being the supreme law of the land under Article 6, Clause 2, and petitions the unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, hereinafter Judicial Tribunal, for the right of writ of habeas corpus to inquire into the cause of imprisonment and restrain of liberty of said petitioner who is not subject to the jurisdiction of the following custodians. Now, pay very close attention to what I just read here. He is petitioning to the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. He's petitioning to us, not to a judge. If you petition to a judge, guess what? They're going to deny your habeas corpus. They will not permit a habeas corpus to go through, especially not one from someone coming without a bar attorney. And no bar attorney will file a writ of habeas corpus other than for the purpose to move a person from one place to... They use habeas corpuses, for instance, if a person is in a county jail and being held in that county jail, to be brought to the courthouse, a habeas corpus would be put forth for that jailer to take that body and release it to the marshal, and the marshal will bring that person to the court. And then when it's done, they'll return them back to that county jail. Because in many places, the federal courts may use a county jail because there may not be a federal prison in that area, okay? So however all that works. But they'll use habeas corpuses to move people from prison to the court and back again. Certainly isn't going to be done to release the individual, okay? Okay, so to the custodians. And the custodians, again, is the assistant United States attorney. The United States Federal District Court, and which also the magistrate, and the United States Marshal, and the FBI agent who made the arrest. Those are the four people who are referred to as the custodians. So then it goes, notice is hereby given to the court and to all interested parties that case number, you put the case number, in the de facto United States District Court for the District of Utah statutory, is removed to the de jure United States District Court of the District of Utah Common Law for habeas corpus for cause. Petitioner may prosecute a writ of habeas corpus to inquire into the cause of the restraint. Number one, application for a writ of habeas corpus shall be in writing, signed, and verified by the person for whom relief it is intended or by someone acting in their behalf, under 28 U.S.C. section 2242, therein, of course, we're talking about the next friend, N-E-X-T-F-R-I-E-N-D, next friend. They can come in and represent them. Number two, every person unlawfully committed, detained, confined, or restrained of his liberty under any pretense whatsoever may prosecute a writ of habeas corpus to inquire into the cause of such imprisonment or his restraint. In the United States, habeas corpus exists in two forms, common law. And remember, everything we do, we're not just doing something for the process and procedure, we're also educating. We learned that particularly from Bill Thornton. Always educate the judge. Always educate the lawyers. Educate everybody because they don't know. They have no clue on how things really should work. So we educate them. And every paper we write, we're always educating. We're educating not only the participants, we're educating also the oath takers that we copy, like the sheriff or the FBI or the marshals or whatever. Okay, so let me get back here. In the United States, habeas corpus exists in two forms, common law and statutory. The Constitution for the United States of America acknowledges the people's right to the common law of England as it was in 1789. It does not consist of absolute, fixed, and inflexible rules, but broad and comprehensive principles based on justice, reason, and common sense. Miller versus Monson. 28 U.S.C. 2243, issuance of writ, return hearing decision. A court magistrate entertaining an application for a writ of habeas corpus shall forthwith award the writ or issue an order directing the respondent to show cause why the writ should not be granted, unless it appears from the application that the applicant or person detained is not entitled thereunto. So trust me, any judge you go after request under that process, they're going to say, nah, they don't qualify. So unless it appears that the applicant or person detained is not entitled. So they're going to say they're not entitled. They're going to deny it because they will never let it go. You got to run it to one of the grand juries. The writ or order to show cause shall be directed to the person. And remember, all writs were written for the king's bench. Okay, so you're talking about juries. Juries are the people. That's the king's bench. Okay. Applicant or person detained is not entitled thereunto. The writ or order to show cause shall be directed to the person having custody of the person detained. It shall be returned within 3 days. Within 3 days. 5 o'clock on the third day, they defaulted. Emergency hearing papers due, in this case, Friday, May 8th, 2015. That's 4 days from now. United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 9, the privilege of writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended. Number 3, this habeas corpus is prosecuted because the taking of a people into custody was without due process in a court of law, also known as a court of record, which proceeds according to the common law. The respondent's court acted under statutes, thereby not a court of record, but a nisi prius, whereas the jurisdiction was fraudulently acquired without petitioner's knowledge. You see, that court should have been a court of record. It should have been a common law procedure. And operating in that courthouse, in that room, with a judge or a magistrate is fraud. They're doing something illegal. They're acting under color of law. So it's presumed it's a court of record until you discover it's not. And in this case, of course, it's not. Okay? Respondent number 4. Respondents gathered a biased grand jury, not under common law, but a statutory jury under a court not of record, which has no power to fine or imprison. And again, there's lots of footnotes in all these papers. You should be reading the footnotes. That's where the real education comes from. Number 5, no state can deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction equal protection of laws. Any court that ignores due process is not a common law court. Such an action proves the court unlawful, and consequently no legal authority over the petitioner without his consent. Whereas defined pursuant to Supreme Court annotated statute, the state citizen is immune from any and all government attacks and procedures, Dred versus Scott. Or as the Supreme Court has stated clearly, every man is independent of all laws except those prescribed by nature. He is not bound by any institution formed by his fellow men without his consent, Cruden versus Neal. Number 6, furthermore, the incarceration was vindictive because petitioner is a liberty group leader, a member of National Liberty Alliance, and filed a writ quo warranto on behalf of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, the sureties of the peace, and therefore oppressing petitioner by targeting petitioner without lawful cause by the bar via the de facto judiciary and their controlled code enforcement officers. The true nature and cause of his detention and decided to break him through incarceration. 7. The Nisi Prius Court is in fact a Nisi Prius Court falsa because respondents have taken unlawful dominion of petitioner so as to deprive him of his court of law. Petitioner should be immediately released so that he may return to the jurisdiction of his own court. Any charges of incompetency is fraud on the court. See 4 affidavits attached. 8. Petitioner herein declares he has seen no sworn documentary evidence, from a competent fact witness to lawfully pursue criminal charges or assert a challenge to his competency as one of the people. No servant has the authority to declare differently without evidence in a court of law. The government service cannot incarcerate people because they disagree with them. Any constitutional provisions intended to confer a benefit should be liberally construed in the favor of a clearly intended and expressly designated beneficiary. Then a constitution should receive a literal interpretation in favor of the citizen is especially true with respect to those provisions which were designed to safeguard the liberty and security of the citizen in regard to the person and property. And that was American Jurisprudence, Second Edition. 9. Petitioner has been subjected to unlawful imprisonment and restraints. Petitioner is thus petitioning through his authorized agent, his next friend, for a writ of habeas corpus to demand to be restored. Because the respondent's court should have been a court of record, but instead fraudulently concealed its jurisdiction under color of law, writ of habeas corpus should issue. 10. The Constitution for the United States of America, Article 3, Section 1, grants that judges, both in the Supreme and Inferior Courts, should hold their offices during good behavior. No judge may act without jurisdiction. All lawful jurisdictions must be ordained and established by the people. 11. Article 4, Section 4, guarantees a republican form of government against domestic violence. When a judge enforces acts beyond his said authority under color of law, judicial immunity is lost. It is nothing less than lawless violence. Likewise, legislative jurisdiction that is not authorized by the United States Constitution is as inoperative as though it had never been passed. And judges proceeding without jurisdiction are indictable for treason. Judges are expected to know the law. And by the way, all of these words really come out of Supreme Court rulings, and we have all of the footnotes here with those rulings to back up everything we're saying. Nothing we say is without authority. Everything we say has authority. You find them in the footnotes. Anybody reading papers and trying to do this and is not studying footnotes and not applying footnotes to their papers or too lazy to put footnotes and really get all the authorities is only fooling themselves and you're doing it incorrectly and you'll probably cause more damage than good. So learn how to do this right. And again, we're teaching you how to do this here. Go again to the Investigative Response Committee and study with them. Okay, 12. Is that where we're at, 12? Yeah, 12. Article 3, Section 2 authorizes two jurisdictions, law and equity. A court of equity follows the form and procedure of chancery as distinguished from common law. Courts of equity and courts of chancery are synonymous. A court of law means court of a common law, a court of the people, in alleged criminal cases when judges claim that they are bound by legislation that is authorized by the Constitution as they act under equity and not law. They commit fraud on the court. The law of the land is common law, not equity, and judges in every state are bound thereby. Now, this sounds a little confusing. I want to clarify something here. A court of equity, you know, when you go into Black's Law and you go and just look into and study about courts of equity, courts of equity deal usually with contract. They're civil. And they deal with contract problems and situations, and that's what they deal with. And you get one individual who is a judge that makes the decision, and of course that can be appealed. And it could go up two levels, and then in our case, it can go to the federal level if the United States Supreme Court would take it on. That'd be pretty difficult to get into that appellate court. But nevertheless, anywhere you look, a court of equity proceeds under chancery. I haven't seen anything in history anywhere to the contrary. In the Constitution, Article 4, I think, I'm not sure which one, I think Article 4, Paragraph 1, but I think it's in Article 4, it requires only two processes of law, and that is law and equity. So automatically you might think, well, then they're allowing chancery courts and equity courts. Not true. I haven't seen any place in history other than through the Constitution. Article 6 requires all judges to act under the common law, under the law of the land, the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution, which is common law. Okay? So where do judges act? Judges do not act in courts of law. That's where magistrates act. Judges act in the United States in courts of equity. So therefore, courts of equity must go according to common law, just like law. So I wanted to clarify that, because the way we're wording this, it appears, well, it is true that all courts of equity run court to chancery, okay? But they should not be doing so in America. And some Supreme Court rulings have talked about this, referring to the Court of Equity acting under chancery and not under the common law. All right, anyway, it's a little confusing, but once you understand it, you know, you get it, because equity courts in the United States are common law courts. Any court with any power, any court with the power to fine or incarcerate, they must act under common law. That's the law of the land. That's what was ordained and established by we, the people, in our Constitution. Okay. 13, when the petitioner was falsely charged in an equity court operating under the rules of chancery and not law, petitioner therein opens a court of record and plainly states he is one of the people of Utah, and that this is a court of record, thereby establishing both standing and jurisdiction as is petitioner's unalienable right. So his opening of a court of record right here is right here in his paperwork. And if you notice, we started out with the words, come now, Stephen, here in petitioner, one of the people of Utah State, in this court of record, under Article 3, Section 2, so on and so forth. So that right there is we opened a court of record. He opened a court of record through his next friend. 14, petitioner further accepts all the respondent's oaths and bonds. If respondents do not possess oaths and bonds, they need to speak up now. Silence, when there is a duty to speak, is fraud. So we don't have to demand their oath and bonds. Let them not speak. They acquiesce. They say, by acquiescing, they're saying, hey, we have our oaths, we have our bonds. Later on, you discover not true. You get them for another charge, fraud. Every New York case, if you put this in every New York case, you got at least one charge against every judge, because none of them have a bond. None of them in New York State. Not one. And it may be the same in most states. I don't know. You'd have to check yourself. 15. Equity or criminal courts are nisi prius courts, not of record, proceeding according to the statutes, having no power to fine or imprison. To do so is a crime. Courts of law are courts of record, and proceed according to the common law. Under common law, the following maxims apply. For there to be a crime, there must be a victim. Corpus delicti. In the absence of a victim, there can be no crime. For a crime to exist, there must be an injured party. There can be no sanction or penalty imposed upon one because of this exercise of a constitutional right. Sherrod versus Cullen. 17. Constitutions must be construed to reference the common law. Summary proceedings are null and void. As to the and listen to that. How many people got caught up in summary proceedings? I object. It's not according to the process of common law. Are we in a different jurisdiction than common law? Silence is what you're going to be met with. They're going to move it along. You write a writ of error for whatever is done in that court, and you go bring them in before a federal judge or into a federal court. For violating your unalienable right of due process, and they hijack you into a foreign court. So constitutions must be construed to reference the common law. Summary proceedings are null and void. As to the construction, with reference to common law, an important canon of construction is that constitutions must be construed to reference to the common law. The common law so permitted destruction of the abatement of nuisance by summary proceedings. And it has never supported that a constitutional provision was intended to infer with this established principle. And although there is no common law of the United States in a sense of national customary law, as distinguished from the common law of England, adopted in the several states, In interpreting the federal constitution, recourses may still be had to the aid of the common law of England. It has been said that without reference to the common law, the language of the federal constitution could not be understood. And that's the American Jurisprudence, second edition. For anybody who doesn't know about about American Jurisprudence, which is a book, okay, of collected Supreme Court rulings and conclusions, that is for the judges, that they are bound to obey this book. These are the conclusions of the United States Supreme Court justices. Ultimately, that book is really put together by U.S. Supreme Court rulings. Very powerful book, and judges ignore it all day long. I've brought it up in court. They've ignored it. But that's okay, because now they violated your unalienable right of due process, and they got a problem if you know what to do with it. 18, respondents acted without constitutional authority, therefore without jurisdiction under color of law, using unconstitutional statutes that are null and void under common law. Furthermore, respondents failed to identify the jurisdiction they were operating under. Clearly, it was not under common law, and therefore under equity, a court not of record. A court without the power to imprison, a court without the consent of the petitioner, a court thereby acting under fraud, therefore a writ of habeas corpus should issue. Because no jurisdiction basis for the custody, this is the heading, because no jurisdiction basis for custody has been proffered or stated, a writ habeas corpus should issue. 19. Broad meanings of jurisdiction on habeas corpus. For purposes of the writ of habeas corpus, as for purposes of prohibition or centuriaria, and I believe that is the writ, the term that we're looking at to get information from the court. I believe that's it. Anyway, I have to check in. The term jurisdiction is not limited to its fundamental meaning, and in such proceedings, judicial acts may be restrained or annulled if they are determined to be in excess of the court's powers as defined by the constitutional provisions, statutes, or rules developed by the courts. 20. The liberty of the people is restrained by the custodians. Petitioner is in custody by color of authority of Utah State and or the custodians and is committed for trial before the same court thereof, 18 U.S.C. 2241c1. B. Petitioner is in custody in violation of the Constitution or laws of the United States, 28 U.C.C. 2241c3. 21. Although the true cause of custody of petitioner is unknown, petitioner on information believes that the claim of authority is under color of law in violation of the Constitution, Utah State, and the United States of America. The true basis for jurisdiction by the custodians has never been preferred or stated. Petitioner, as one of the people, has never knowingly or voluntarily agreed to such jurisdiction. Petitioner herein disputes any factual allegation that he has agreed. 22. The jurisdictional facts leading up to the custody and restraint are unknown to the people. The jurisdictional facts by which the custodians presume to continue to deprive the people of his court are unknown to the people. 23. The people on information and belief allege that the custodians are funded in whole or in part by the United States. Thus motivated, they are acting under color of law as contractual agents of the principal, the United States. 24. The court lacks personam jurisdiction because it proceeds under statutes and is therefore a nisi prius court, not of record, and does not have petitioner's consent. 25. Petitioner did not consent and therefore is immune from any and all government attacks and procedure. 26. Petitioner is independent of all laws except those prescribed by nature and is not bound by any institution formed by his fellow men without petitioner's consent. 27. The custodians do not state and the proceedings do not show any lawful authority or jurisdictional facts, enabling the custodians to lawfully take dominion over a people of Utah State. Lacking such jurisdiction, their actions can only be under color of law, violating due process, in order to execute their own private agendas, whatever that may be. Therefore, a writ of habeas corpus should issue. New heading. A writ of habeas corpus is a proper remedy because petitioner was deprived of his liberty without due process. 28. Respondents proceeded as a court of equity, which is not a court of record, and therefore had no power to imprison petitioner. Confirmatio carterium. Confirmatio, I'm not sure of the pronunciation, but anyway, Gerard, if you remember how to pronounce that, maybe you can pipe in. Sovereign people shall not be taken or imprisoned or deceased or outlawed or exiled or anywise destroyed but by lawful judgment of his peers or by a law of the law of the land. Magna Carta, chapter 39, sometimes referred to as chapter 29. 29. Petitioner responds asta principis, from, in other words, resisting the beginning, the first. From the beginning and continuous to the same against said first of all courts not of record, state, and or federal. 30. Petitioner was denied due process of law, thereby violating petitioner's unalienable rights protected by the Fifth Amendment. A case. No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Due course of law. This phrase is synonymous with due process of law or law of the land and means law in its regular course of administration through courts of justice, which is a court of record. Kansas Pack, Ray versus Dunmire. I think I missed something here. Okay, yeah, another case. Law in its regular course of administration through courts of justice, okay, is due process. That's another court case, Leper versus Texas. 31. Petitioner was deprived of his unalienable right of due process in a court of law, a.k.a. a common law secured by the Fifth Amendment, where, therefore, a writ habeas corpus should issue. New heading, a writ habeas corpus is a proper remedy because custodians have engaged in prosecutorial vindictiveness. Burden is upon respondents to rebut presumption. 32, petitioner objects to the court not of record, jurisdiction and process. 33, the court not of record that has no power to imprison without consent and is in violation of its own corporate charter and therefore unlawfully incarcerated petitioner. 34. The court not of record that has no power to imprison without consent and in violation of its own corporate charter incarcerated petitioner without petitioner's consent by assignment and after already been held for the action of the statutory instructed and reactive grand jury. And that was arraignment, by the way, consent by arraignment. 35. Respondents in violation of U.S. 18-241, 242, and U.S. 42 in 1983 and 85 exceeded their jurisdiction, acted under the color of law, using statutes to willfully subject petitioner to retaliatory incarceration, and did conspire to deprive petitioner of rights, injures, oppress, threatened, and intimidated petitioner of his free exercise and enjoyment of petitioner's unalienable right of liberty and due process. 36. Respondents in violation of U.S. 18-2382 acted treasonously when they imprisoned petitioner and concealed their actions and hidden court bond chattel money make an enterprise operating under the color of law, all acting knowingly in concert, none dissenting. Demand is now made to make full material fact disclosure, to see financial books and CRIS, Court Registry Investment System Report, i.e., and make disclosure of the bid bond, payment bond, and the performance bond and underwritten against this case and makes an offer of proof and show how this court is not profiteering off petitioner's incarceration and show with clean hands how it doesn't have a strong financial interest to incarcerate the petitioner and deprive petitioner's constitutionally protected due process rights and how the court is not operating constitutionally infirm and committing honest services fraud against we the people. 37. Respondents exceeded their authority thereby acting under the color of law injured petitioner. 38. Petitioner has not waived common law venue and insists on proceeding in a court of record with which is the petitioner's unalienable right. 39. Petitioner maintains his position as a natural man and not a personal corporation. 40. Further Further, respondents are in violation of U.S. 18, 241, 242, U.S. 42, 86, and 83, and 85, and 2384. 41, Senior Judge Dale A. Kimball exceeded and abused his authority when he unlawfully sent the FBI out on a fishing expedition to ruse petitioner to commit a crime. 42, FBI agent S.A. Jewel Allison unlawfully launched an investigation on a petitioner with no evidence of a crime, and when his fishing expedition turned up nothing to prosecute, said agent set up a scam for entrapment. 43, FBI agent S.A. Jewel Alterson committed a felony when he placed a loaded gun in the hands of an alleged felon, and thereby, in theory, placed the lives of many people in jeopardy. By the way, the sheriff out there is looking to arrest that FBI agent. 44. Under both statutory and common law, if evidence of a crime was achieved by committing a crime, the doctrine of the first fruits, the fruit of the poisonous tree, the doctrine of the fruit of the poisonous tree applies, and such evidence cannot be used. See, once they set him up, that was a crime. That's the fruit of the poisonous tree, and everything from that point is no longer valid in any law, in any court. Even their courts. 45. Petitioner incarcerated was vindictive because petitioner is a Liberty Group leader. 46. Petitioner incarcerated was vindictive because petitioner is a member of National Liberty Alliance. 47. Petitioner incarceration was vindictive because petitioner lawfully filed a writ quo warranto on behalf of the Unified Common Law Grand Jury. The sureties of the peace. 48. Petitioner was targeted without lawful cause. This application for a writ of habeas corpus is signed and verified on behalf of Stephen Dean by Loretta Johnson acting on his behalf. 28 U.S.C. Section 2242. A next friend is a person who represents someone who is unable to tend to his or her own interests. Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 17 under 28 U.S.C.A. I, Loretta, a fiant, being of lawful age, qualified and competent to testify, and having firsthand knowledge of the aforementioned facts, do hereby affirm that the following facts are true and correct and not misleading. Then place her signature, then the notary. Now that is the petition for writ of habeas corpus. The handshake, which is the paper that then comes from, in this case, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, approving the procedure to go forward with a writ. We do all these paperwork together. They get filed together. They get served together. Paper came to us, then we work, write the paper, and then we deliver it to the necessary people. Okay, writ of habeas corpus, order to show cause, emergency hearing. Then it goes to the Chief Justice under common law. And it gives the case number and the petitioner's name and all the other information we saw on the front page of the other one. And it starts off with the petitioner's name and address to Special Assistant U.S. Attorney Daniel R. Strong, FBI agent S.A. Jewel Alcerson, U.S. Marshal James Thompson, and Magistrate Judge Dustin B. Plead. Please take notice that on May 5th, 2015, a petition for a writ of habeas corpus is filed in the above-entitled court. This is being filed tomorrow morning. Then it gives the names of any addresses of the four people, the Special Assistant, the United States Attorney, United States Federal District Court, and the judge, the United States Marshal, James, and the FBI agent. Okay, then starts off with a paragraph. It appearing that the applicant is entitled thereunto. Special Assistant U.S. Attorney Daniel R. Strong, FBI agent, the marshal, the judge, and so on, is directed in accordance with Title 28 U.S.C. Section 2242-3 to forthwith release Stephen Dean from custody. If Stephen Dean is not forthwith released from custody, then within 3 calendar days after service of this writ, Special Agent U.S. Attorney, and names all the people again, okay, shall make a return certifying the true nature and cause of the detention and shall show cause why the writ should not be granted. All returns are to be made to the United States Federal District Court for the District of Utah, Chief Judge David Nuffer and gives the address, and by fax, it gives our fax number, to the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury by the end of the day Friday, May 8th, 2015. They got till 5 p.m. No fax, then we file papers. Special, and they won't. They won't file papers. Special Assistant U.S. Attorney Daniel Strong, FBI agent, the U.S. Marshal, Magistrate Judge, so on, must state in his certified return, certified, must be sworn to, plainly and unequivocally. One, whether he has or has not party in his custody or under his power or restraint. Two, if he has the party in his custody or power or under his restraint, he must state the authority and the cause of such imprisonment of or restraint. Three, if the party is detained by virtue of any sworn writ, warrant, or other written authority, a sworn copy thereof must be annexed to the return and the original produced and exhibited to the court or magistrate on the hearing of such return. All sworn documentary evidence, all unsworn documentary evidence will be refused for cause as hearsay. They will not swear to anything. That's why they won't file papers on this. Four, if the person upon whom the writ is served had the party in his power of custody or under his restraint at any time prior or subsequent to the date of the writ of habeas corpus, but has transferred such custody or restraint to another, the return must state particularly to whom, at what time and a place, for what cause, and by what authority such transfer took place. Five, the return must be signed and sworn by the person making the same, and except when such person is sworn public officer and makes such return to his official capacity, it must be verified by his oath. Six, the applicant or the person detained may under oath deny any of or of the facts set forth in the return or alleged any other material facts. Seven, the return and all suggestions made against it may be amended by leave of court before or after being filed. Eight, when the writ in order is returned, a day shall be set for the hearing not more than 3 days after the return, unless for good cause additional time is allowed. 20 days is maximum. They'll not go to that part. That's not going to happen. Nine, because the petition presents issues of facts as well as issues of law, if Stephen Dean is constrained by actual physical force, then United States Marshal James A. Thompson is required to produce at the hearing the body of the person detained. 10. Was the grand jury instructed that code violations are law? You know they were. 11. What document proof of a crime was submitted to the grand jury? No documented proof was submitted to the grand jury. To our knowledge, there was no sworn affidavit, and the only thing we know that was produced as evidence was a picture, and it was not a verified picture. It was not sworn to. They produced no evidence to a grand jury, and that grand jury went forward under the instruction of the prosecutor, the United States attorney here, I'm sure. They went forward anyway and filed an indictment. And all of that was illegal. The whole process, the whole procedure, not to mention the fact that they are a puppet jury. They can't answer any of this stuff. They cannot answer. They will be silent. 12. Was the statutory grand jury advised of their rights of nullification? 13. Did the jury members fill out a questionnaire before being chosen? If so, provide copies. I've seen these. They're ridiculous. I mean, they want to know everything. It's clearly a psychological, look into the individual filling out the paperwork. No doubt, they even want to know what do you watch on TV? They want to know even what party you're in. I mean, they ask some really crazy questions. We're going to do a paper on that, by the way, and that's on the federal questionnaires. Anybody who can get a hold of state questionnaires for juries, then they should be the same. The grand jury, trial jury, it's probably the same. But anybody who can get a copy. PDF copy of those questionnaires, please email me a copy, John at NationalLibertyAlliance.org. 14. Are there any affidavits from any witnesses? Answer to that is no. 15. Are there any documented evidence? Answer to that is no. 16. Are there any affidavits from an injured party? The answer to that is no. And I know because I saw that I got a copy of the docket and all of the evidence. There is no evidence. 17. Was the court that incarcerated petitioner a court of record proceeding under the common law? Well, we know that's not true. And if they're not that, they have no power or authority to incarcerate or fine. 18. Did FBI agent S.A. Jewel Alderson give a loaded weapon to a petitioner as admitted in open court? If so, why? Why did you give him that weapon? 19. Was a crime committed that initiated the FBI investigation? Answer, no. This whole thing started, by the way, because some judge decided to go on a fishing expedition and convinced an FBI agent to go out and perform an investigation, and because this guy is one of us, and he filed the writ of habeas, writ of quo warranto. And since they couldn't arrest him for anything, because they can't, we did nothing wrong, we followed court procedure, process, common law, everything. So that's when they went on a fishing expedition. They couldn't get him in for anything, and they had some felony charge on him, so he wasn't allowed to be a gun, but the felony charge, even that, was something that needs to be overturned, too. But in any event, they went out after him, and they figured, well, okay, let's put a gun in his hand, let's take some pictures, and let's watch him fire a few bullets, and then we'll arrest him. We'll go get a grand jury indictment, and that's what they did. The whole thing was a setup. It's the fruit of the poisonous tree. Nothing sticks in any court. And this is the normal process. Everybody that's with us knows that anyway. Okay. Was a crime committed that initiated the FBI investigation? Describe in detail the events that led to the FBI investigation. That's 20. 21. Respondents are to answer petitioner's accusations in petition to this body, numbers 1 through 48. They can't answer anything, and that's why they will default. The court is to notify this body, Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, by fax and next friend by phone to witness on May 8, 2015, as to the day and time of the hearing to be held at the above said courthouse. At the hearing, Chief Judge David Nuffer shall summarily hear and determine the facts and dispose of the matter in law and justice required under the rules of common law, not chancery, and fax and mail a certified copy of decision immediately, 24 hours, to the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. It gives the address, fax number, for judicial review. This court, May 5th, 2015, sealed, and a signature. Okay, and in this case, the signature came under grand jury administrator, not grand jury foreman, grand jury administrator. If you sign it as a foreman, that means you got 25 people together to discuss this to go forward with this matter. We didn't do that, and you're not going to do that. Grand jury administrators are the investigative body for the grand jury. They have the power and the authority to investigate, and if four people come together and agree something should be investigated, they then go forward and investigate. We're not declaring anyone's guilt. We're not doing an indictment. We're not doing anything like that. All we're saying is what's going on. We got this person who came to us. They said that they didn't receive due process. They wrote a paper, and clearly they got a good position here. So now what's up? Show cause. Why are you holding this guy? And then, of course, that, if these people fail in any way, then we do an indictment. When we bring it before the grand jury, and we go for the process of indictment. But I doubt very much they'll do that. In my limited experience, that has never happened. And I understand that Bill Thornton, he's never said that it ever happened where they didn't have to respond to this. So, and law requires, this is procedure. There is nothing to decide in this matter. The law requires when a writ goes forward, a habeas corpus goes forward, and it's unanswered by the other party, it's default, case over, end. So, again, very powerful stuff. Okay, so Friday, we will know by Friday. We already know what the outcome of this is going to be anyway. But we will write the papers at that point for Friday. We will write the default paper. We will write also a paper that is called Memorandum and Decision. will file it with the courts and a copy to all involved, and they must release the prisoner immediately. And again, I believe we read they got like 5 days to do that max. But it's the process. It's the procedure. The clerk must stamp the papers and must file the papers because it's the process. It's the procedure. The writ of habeas corpus has gone forward. All right, so we'll read those other two papers next week. And then, of course, we'll keep you abreast on when Steve is released, which we do expect to happen. If not, we'll then go through the next part of the process of what we'll do, which would be definitely a bunch of indictments, including the chief judge. But, again, I doubt that's going to happen. Okay, with that, that moves us over to getting into the Q&A in a minute. Gerard, anybody have anything you want to bring up?
Yeah, that's a certiorari or a certiorari, however you want to say it.
That's how you say it? Okay. Yeah, I tried.
Or certiorari.
Yeah, I even put it into my, I have a dictionary, Webster's dictionary, that gives the pronunciation. And in this particular word, like a lot of other Latin words, it doesn't work out very well. But anyway, okay. Anything else before we get started, Gerard?
No, I just wanted to say that, you know, sometimes they'll tell you that they have a sworn statement, and all it is an affirmation of an attorney. Don't let that fool you. That is
That means nothing.
That is not an affidavit. They don't fill out affidavits. They never have them notarized. But they will say, I affirm. And first of all, an attorney can't swear to anything. He's not a first-hand witness to anything. So,
right.
And they will pull that. So don't let that throw you off and be, oh, no, we got a sworn statement. No, you don't. That's all.
Okay, let me make a few announcements. We need people to fill numerous leadership roles. Anybody who is not taking on a role somewhere, you know, you don't have to take a leadership role, but you can work with people. But anybody who can take on leadership roles, we need lots of leaders. We are at a point in time with so many things going on and so many, it's just so many things happening. We are at a point, I think, of explosion. It's coming very, very soon. When that happens, we need a lot of leaders in place in order to sort of corral the people into the proper process. We certainly don't want people coming into this thing and moving this thing down a wrong avenue, getting rid of and losing principles. You know, we have to do everything under principles. So we have to take control. And so we need the leadership in place. We got leadership, but we need more. We need a lot of leadership. People should be involved. Anybody who is taking the civics course and check the box to become an administrator, and we have about 350 people who have done that, all 350 of those people, if they intend on taking on these jobs, then they need to be active now. That's a prerequisite. Okay? You must get active now, because now we're doing all the things that are going to be teaching things of what you're going to be doing when you get into that position. Everybody, someone in one of the administrators in every court needs to know how to put together a writ of habeas corpus. It's going to be probably the most used paper in the beginning of our getting into power and authority. It's going to be one of the most used papers because we have a lot of people to deal with to get out of jail that have been in there, put in there wrongfully. We're going to get a lot of people coming to us, and we got to do this. Now, everyone needs to learn how to do it. They need to do it. And then even if it's just one person, but everybody should eventually learn. But you can always take it and have it checked out by someone else, maybe the county next door, who's got more knowledge and understanding, you know, and they'll check it out for you. Bring it here to National Liberty Alliance. We'll check it out for you. We're building a committee that's, specializing in these things. So they'll check it out for you. Do not just hand any piece of paper into court. Don't take guesses. Don't go off of the framework and the plan. There must be a handshake between the papers. Everything has to be done correctly. And so let's learn to do it and do it right. This is not difficult stuff. And again, it's already written out for you. The only thing you have to do is change the facts. That's all. The facts of the case changes. But everything else remains the same. The framework is there. Okay. So anyway, we do need people to take on leadership roles. We're looking to create a militia committee to get together with a bunch of militias and have them working, also particularly talking with sheriffs and stuff and working with us here at National Liberty Alliance. We're also looking to put together an Oath Keepers Committee. So if we have any Oath Keepers amongst us who would like to be involved, we need directors for both of these committees. Talk with Jan or talk with Gerard or Gary or, you know, just talk with Bristow. Talk with any of the leaders and let them know that you're interested in taking these positions, okay? And again, we're looking for directors, but they have to be qualified to be a director. I mean, anybody who is in head of the militia should be someone who's involved with the militia, preferably someone of rank if possible. I do know we have ranking militia amongst us, as a matter of fact. I've talked with a few of them. It's been a while. I don't remember, but get in touch with us. Get in touch with me, those who know who I'm talking to. Get in touch with me. I want to talk with you. And I know we have a lot of Oath Keepers amongst us. We'd like to get someone that has very heavy military background in as an Oath Taker, an Oath Keeper, or someone heavy in the police department or sheriff or something, you know. Someone retired or still in it, you know. An FBI agent too, you know. A marshal, whatever. But that would be the ideal thing to get the directors from with that kind of a background, okay? But anyway, get in touch with Robert, Jan, Gerard, and let us know. Okay, got two questions, and then we will go to an open mic, okay? Question number one, can you please give us an update as to the fax mailings for the next few months? I haven't heard anything in weeks about the status of the mailings. Well, I think we have been mentioning something every Monday. We have technical problems. We have everything ready to go. We have all the fax numbers. We have all the papers written. I mean, they're ready to go. But we have technical problems setting up the fax system and making things work. And we had someone who was working on it, and then we haven't been able to get in touch with them. So we got two other people. They've been working on it over the weekend. They've been working today on it. I was working today on it. And I think we have it finally settled. There is a very good chance we will be faxing papers this week. Not absolute, but it looks pretty good like we're going to be. One of the problems, though, is money, okay? It's going to cost more than we anticipated. We have to sign a contract. The contract's going to put us into a two-year contract. And it's $400 minimum per month, okay? And I forget how many minutes of faxing we get. It probably will cover most of what we have to do on a monthly basis. Maybe we'll be posting two a month or so. But this first month is huge. We got a lot of papers to file. Every 4 days we want to file a paper. We have eight papers, and we have a plan to file them all in 34 days. And this is a requirement because it's going to be the education of all the oath takers, of all the people in government. We're sending out to every elected official on the federal and state levels, every one of them, every judge, state judge, federal judge, every court, state court, federal court, even the United States Supreme Court, everybody's getting a copy. FBI, marshals, sheriffs, everybody's getting a copy. Matter of fact, they are all referred to as respondents. So they're in the case. And really, mostly what we're doing is mandamuses, orders, and we're educating them in this process and things they should be doing. You can't argue. They can't argue with what we're writing. Judges aren't going to like it, but I think most of the other people, I think they're going to be glad to receive this, to get knowledge, fresh knowledge that's going to empower these people to do something, because even a lot of people in government are just frustrated because they feel their hands are tied. They don't know what to do. They don't know what direction to go. We're hopefully going to start this week. We're going to need, and we're not sure, we're taking a guess on this, You know, a lot of these faxes, if they're digital, they'll take seconds and then move on to the next fax. And we pay by minutes. You get so many minutes, and then we have to pay 0.008 cents. So it's 0.008 cents per minute after our first, I think it's 49,000 minutes. And we're going to far surpass 49,000 minutes. We're going to be somewhere, our guess is maybe close to 150,000 minutes, okay? And that's maximum, we think. We think it's going to, a lot of this stuff will be digital. For instance, Congress, you know, they're all made a move to move away from paper and go digital as much as possible. So most of the for 10 years, I haven't received a paper fax in 10 years. All of my faxes goes to a fax, and I receive a copy of that fax by email. Of course, I have a place online I can go, and, you know, all my faxes are up there right now anyway. But and that's through the fax process that we set up for all of the administrators for the state and then eventually the counties, which is a follow me number system program, which comes with a fax number. And of course, you can put three or four or five emails into your system. You go up and just put the emails in and say, I want a fax. I want whatever fax is coming in delivered to all three or four of these people. Just by putting an email, it automatically comes to everybody. So it's a good system. But in any event, I've been doing that for 10 years, and I know the government has moved in that direction. So I think when senators and assemblymen for the state or senators in the state or even in Congress, U.S. Congress and U.S. Senate, when they receive faxes, it probably goes digitally and they receive it in email. That being the case, it'll reduce a lot of the cost. So I'm estimating probably about $5,000 we're going to have to come up with. We're going forward. We have some money, a couple thousand, to throw into this, and we're going to do that and go forward and live on faith that we're going to get them the other $3,000 or whatever is necessary should it come to that. But we do need money, so please, especially those who have not given, who have never given, even if it's a one-time given, you know, give us a few bucks. Everybody can afford $5 a month. Help us do this thing. You know, we tried to do the mailing. And the mailing, could you imagine? I mean, oh goodness, I'll tell you, this would be $100,000, $150,000, I don't know, to mail this stuff. Easy. In a heartbeat, that's what it would probably cost. We have 14,100 respondents. The longest paper is 26 pages. We have another paper that is 20 pages, and some of the other papers we have as little as 7 or 10 pages or 15 pages. So they're a little weighty. They got a lot of paper in it. And so if we had to print all this out, we're talking about over 1.5 million pages to be printed out, then put in envelopes, then put the necessary mailing, you know, stamps on it. We wouldn't be able to do it in a small envelope, so we'd have to pay full price. We couldn't take a chance if we did this. Anyway, we'd want to make sure these people get this. So, you know, when you put all this together and then the amount of labor to do that, and we do have to do that every single time. We have to do that 8 times. So the number and the amount to do that is huge numbers. We tried to divide the work up in 50 states, but it's hard to get two or three people on the same page. Forget 50 or 100 people on the same page. And we just couldn't work that out. So we have to do it centralized and as inexpensive as we can, and we've worked out the fax system. So it's the fax system. We'll have access to 50 lines for faxing and the software. And it's just going to cost us. So please, you know, especially if you've never given, give some money. Even if it's one time, just give us some money. But the best thing to do is give us $5 or more a month and keep us going. And let's keep us moving. Because this month, even after we get these 8 papers out, we're not done. We got a lot to do. Even when we get into courts, we have a lot to do. A lot to do. And so now is the time for education also. So look at anybody sitting out there, and you wait. I don't know what you're waiting for. Get into the civics course. Get involved in the education. Learn to write the papers. Get involved and do it now. We have Jade Helm coming up in July. We moved into May. That's frightening. We're in May. May, June, July. We have 2 months. 2 months to do what we have to do to stop that insanity. We can stop it. I am absolutely convinced with what we have put together and what we're doing, we will stop Jade Helm, but only if the people want to do it, because I certainly don't have this kind of money, and no one of two people that I know, we're looking to people who have money, we're going to beg them for money, but we haven't been able to get big dollars since we started. We've always been on shoestring, operation, just barely getting by, going halfway through. But now is the time. This is the time. People have got to step up, become involved, start getting educated, take these tests serious, the civics course serious. And I mentioned this the last 2 weeks, I believe. I'll mention it again. We are now we're preparing to add two more parts to the course. So if you're at 100%, you will one day see yourself pop to 75% or whatever number it works out to be, 80% or whatever, because we're going to add to the course that you'll have to come in and finish it. Now, the first course we're doing is a line-by-line, word-by-word study of the Constitution. We need to know it inside and out. So that's one course that's going to be added. The second course is a procedural course, writing papers particularly, how to write an information, how to write a writ, how to write just the necessary papers that we have to do if we're going to indict, how to write a true bill of indictment or presentment. And it's not difficult, but we're going to give a course on this, and it's going to be added to the civics course. And anybody that is becoming an administrator, do not think you're going to take that job if you're not in this course and moving through it hardcore. If someone got into this course 3 months ago and they're not moving anywhere, and someone else comes into this course and gets ahead of that person in that county, the people most further along or completed with that course are the people that are going to get these positions. And no one's going to keep the position. As long as they've taken the course, they can get into the position. But no one's going to keep that position if you don't finish that course, because it would be a wrongdoing for us to allow that to be. We have to police ourselves and make sure that we are as qualified as possible. So we have to learn all these things, and learning is really just experiencing, so it's not a big thing. Certainly, at this point, we all know more than these people running the court system as far as what justice is all about in common law, but we have to educate ourselves, and we have to educate each other. We have to assist each other and help each other and get through this. We have to keep the principles, sense of honor, justice, and mercy in everything we do, everywhere we go, and make sure every jurist operates under the same three principles. Okay, another question. Operation Jade Helm 15, I'm sure you already know about it. What good would LA be able to do when martial law is declared? How do we defend ourselves against an internal attack? Thank you for all you've done, but as you say, only people can save America. But America does not wake up in time. It is too late. Well, I say poppycock. It's not too late. We have 2 months to get... No, we have 1 month, 5 weeks to get it done. We can't go 8 weeks. We'll be right up against July. We got to go next 4 weeks. We got to get this job done. We got to get these papers that are written into the game. And we have 30 days from that point to put the pressure on like they've never seen before. And let me tell you, just filing these papers will be huge pressures on these people. Huge pressure. Okay? So, no, it's not too late. Yes, we can save America. But let's see if people, can dig into their pockets and give us 5 or 10 or 20 bucks a month and help us pay these bills that are necessary, get this system set up and go forward. Let's see if that happens, because if that doesn't happen, therein could be our demise. And more than that, we also, on top of that, have got to educate. If you're not educating yourself, then you're fooling yourself, and we're not really serious about what we're doing. So if you're serious, you'll be educated. Anybody who's doing anything should be in this civics course. And if they're not in that civics course, then they're not taking it serious. And for those who signed up 3 or 4 months ago and have nothing done, okay, my question to you is why? Let's get it done. Let's get the job done. Do we want to save America or do we not want to save America? I say let's save America. The question is what say you? Are we going to save America? Okay, so it's not too late. America, all of America does not have to wake up. We have to wake up, and we have to wake up the sheriffs, we have to wake up the FBI, and we have to wake up the marshals. And I believe what we are doing, and if we accomplish, we have the money to accomplish what we are going to do, there's no way we're going to lose this. Because once we wake especially the sheriffs up, and they understand what we're saying, and they see the power and the authority that they have at their hands and the responsibility and the duty and the oath that they took, okay? And believe me, almost all sheriffs are really frustrated at this point. There's so much frustration because they don't know what to do. You know, we had one sheriff said, you know, I don't know, you know. He doesn't know nothing about the Constitution. Well, we're going to teach it to them. That's what those papers are all about. It's teaching them. Every paper we write is for the purpose of teaching these people. Okay, so it's up to you. Are we going to save America? I'm going forward full bore, full steam. I know a lot of the leaders that are working together in NLA, they're full bore on this, and they're working hard. But there's a lot of people out there sitting on the fences doing nothing. We need you to get up now and do it. Now or never. We have less than 8 weeks, but we must accomplish this goal in 4 weeks. Are we going to do it? Okay, with that, we're going to take questions. Anybody who wants to get into the queue, star 6, into the queue. First question, I'm only going to spend a few minutes. It's almost 11 o'clock, Gerard, and I'm going to pass it to you shortly. I'll take one or two questions, and I'm going to pass it. Okay, let's ask the first person, maybe give us your first name and your state, 260 number, 744. First name and state.
This is DeMarsh at Fort Wayne, Indiana.
How you doing? What's your first name?
I placed a case in Fort Wayne Federal Court. They withheld my summons, and they're keeping them from me from serving, having them served. So am I to write a writ of error? I don't have the seal, but could I write a writ of error?
Well, absolutely. It's a crime for them not to give you the summons to go forward. I have the same thing, and I've already written a writ of error to the judge, and he's been silent at this point, and I'm ready to now write a default on a case that I'm involved with. It's a personal case, just like yours. So...
I don't have
If you know what you're doing, you can do these things. But if you don't know what you're doing, the only thing I could tell you is you got
to
learn. And remember, if your case,
hold on.
If your case falls apart now because you don't know, remember, you could bring it back later. You can spend 3 months or 6 months and learn. Look, our first case, we got blown out of the water. And what did we do? We went and took a course. And 3 months later or 2 months later, we were back. Okay. And so that's what you need to do if you can't get through the system now. And if you go out online and just get involved in all of, we have the civics course, which is huge, but we also have a book that we put together that teaches court access and, you know, we give what's called an anatomy of a court case, and it shows all the paperwork and what's required and everything else. So you can go through that. That's for procedure and papers. And then, of course, the key thing is in our civics course, you'll come up to quite a bit, especially with Bill Thornton and learning through all that. And then, of course, read all of our cases. I mean, you can cut, paste all kinds of stuff out of our cases and apply it to your case. So.
Okay. Now, I don't have a seal, so could I do an affidavit of error instead?
No, you can write the word seal. But again, you know, look, it's more powerful if you put a seal on it. Remember, there's nothing wrong with you to have your own seal. And after all, it's your court case. You opened the court of record. So there's nothing wrong with that. I have my own seal. When I write papers on my behalf for my cases, I put my seal in the back of that.
Okay, how do I get a hold of a seal?
Go to Staples.
Okay.
You know, basically, go up and see the seals that we put together. You know, we have natural law by the grace of God in the outer ring, okay? Well, it may be in the inner ring. I think the outer ring, in our case, we have, let's see, unified United States or whatever state, grand jury on the outer ring. But on your outer ring, you'll want to put a court of record. I'd have to look at mine to see what we put. I should put, you know what I'll do is I will put an example of a seal that you might want to copy and go to Staples and get a seal. You can get one in 3 to 7 days from them. And I'll put an example up on, let me see where I'll put it. I'll put it on the jurist page, which, by the way, we're going to change the name of the jurist page. We may move jurist under, we may change that to judicial and then move jurist down under judicial and do some different things. But it'll be in here sometime. When we post it, I'll make note on the next Monday when we post it where it's at, okay?
In other words, I should delay because I was planning on getting it in the mail this week, but and I should delay and not do an affidavit, but do a writ.
Well, if you're going to do a writ of error, you can do a writ of error and just put the word seal to the far left side and sign it. And you put on the bottom where the seal should go, just write the word seal, S-E-A-L. Okay, that's sufficient. And then you sign it and date it. And it's, you should be called a writ of error. And you should be able to get examples on our website on writing a writ of error. Or you go to 1215.org, which is Bill Thornton's website, and run in his search engine, Writ of Error, and you'll get examples from him, too.
Oh, who is that?
Bill Thornton. It's 1215.org.
1215.org.
Right, so it's 1215.org.
Okay.
That's the year of the Magna Carta.
Okay. I appreciate what you're doing and know that God is working on this situation. I'm part of it. All right?
Yep. Amen. I believe he's... Look, we're with him. It's not that he's with us. We're with him. So by his mercy, we go forward.
Go ahead and do that just by writing the word seal and doing the writ. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. That'll work, too. Stand up. It's hard to do, but stand up.
And if they don't do anything, I can start over.
Well, look at right now, by not giving you your why don't they give you your summons? Why are they saying now this is a state case or a federal case?
I went in common law.
State case or a federal case?
It's a federal.
It's a federal case. Okay, yeah. If they didn't give you your summons, do they say why?
Nope. Just
okay.
Said they would send it to me in the mail, and I don't believe that. Okay.
Well, you call them up and find out where it's at. Get the clerk on and say, what's going on? Isn't these papers in the file? Did anyone take them out? Find out what's going on.
Okay.
And what you do, you find out, you ask the clerk, are you the one stopping this or is there a judge? Who's stopping this? Because I need to know.
Oh, yeah, right
you
got
to get.
It's the counselor in South Bend office. I already know.
Well, hold it. If he's a lawyer outside of the judiciary, he's got to have someone in the judiciary in order to do it. Okay, so he's got to get a judge or the clerk or someone to break the law for him. He can't go in there and take it out. So what you do is if they're working with one or two other people, either the clerk or the judge or both, okay, that's as soon as you have more than one person, that becomes a conspiracy. When they stop paperwork from flowing, and then that's a crime. They could be 1 to 3 years in prison. If they actually remove the paperwork from your file, generally the judge will order that and intimidate the clerk to do it, or he'll come do it himself. That's 20 years for that guy. So you pursue that, find out who did this, then go back to the federal court, file another one. And this time, sue those individuals for conspiracy and violation of your unalienable right of due process, refusing due process. And you put another case together. So you have two cases going, and one will push the other forward.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Let's see who's next here. Let's see. Nancy. Nancy from Colorado. Go right ahead.
John, can you hear me?
Oh, loud and clear. Too loud.
Oh, sorry.
You're too close to your mic. Back off of your mic.
Okay.
Back off more.
Okay.
Another foot. Because you're coming in really loud.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Okay, I lowered my speakers. Go ahead.
Is that better?
It's okay.
Okay, I have a question for you. I've been trying to get a hold of the other members of Colorado NLA members, and they've been taken off the website. And how do we get them back on? Because I can't get a hold of these people, and I don't know if the other states
were they involved in the Colorado debacle?
No. We had 114 members at one time, and they were all listed on the Colorado website under Colorado membership. And then somebody came along and took off all the members of the states.
Well, no, they're still out there, okay. You're looking for county organizers and people of that nature?
No, just the regular members.
Okay, you'll only find the leaders. You won't find every member. If someone hasn't taken a leadership role, their number is not put up. But if you go to committees, highlight committees, and come down to find your state group, okay, click on that. And when you find that, you scroll down to Colorado, okay, and click on Colorado. I'm going there myself to see what's going on. And when you get to Colorado, there's 114 members on, and there's a listing of quite a few people on there.
Okay, so go down to members on the committees, state group.
Highlight committees, just highlight committee.
Okay.
And
okay.
Then come down left side, it's two down, it says find your state group.
Okay.
And then come down on that page and click on Colorado, and you'll find all the people there. Also, if you have any problems or questions, go to the directory, okay, and click on the directory, and you can go get your state coordinator. There should be state coordinators there, a couple of them, for Colorado. There's also district coordinators that covered Colorado. And if you can always also get a hold of Robert or Jan, which are the national coordinators. Their phone numbers are there, too. There's plenty of people. Go to that area. You'll get lots of people there, too.
Okay, yeah, I am a state coordinator. And I had another question. I have a lady that called me, and she's got three radio programs going. She's got her own program. And how would I get the word to possibly get NLA advertised on her programs? Should I call you?
Email you? What do you mean advertise? You mean for them to say things about us, to interview us, to have us as a guest? All they have to do is get a hold of me at 845-233-6560. Give them that phone number to call me. If they have problems calling me, and I've been pretty good answering the phones the past week, very few people, have gotten, when I'm away, they happen to call at the wrong time. But basically, I've been here answering quite a bit, as a matter of fact. Matter of fact, too much. But if they can't get me at this number, then get a hold of Gary or Robert or Jan, and they can get me. They got private numbers to get me if it's something like that. But all they need to do is give me a call and tell me they want me on their program, their radio program or whatever, and we'll schedule them in.
Okay, great. And they promise to plug NLA also and try to get more people in the CPS lawsuits and on the other committees as well. So it's a large group. It's like over 300 people.
Okay, great. Yeah, have them call me. We'll go on any radio program.
Okay.
Know, those are easy because, you know, we'd set right up on the phone at a given time and we'd just go on to the radio. So.
Sounds good. We'll do. Okay, great. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller. Let's see, Dave from California. Go right ahead, Dave from California. Gerard, get ready. I want to pass it to you after this one.
Okay, thank you, John.
How you doing, Dave?
Okay, now did you say you're about $3,000 short on the fax campaign?
That's about right, yes.
Okay,
we've collected $2,000 in the past month for the fax thing, which is what we were told it would cost. And we're estimating the first month's going to be maybe as much as $5,000. So, yeah, we're about $3,000 short.
Okay, and this campaign could potentially shut down Jade Helm. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. We have 8 papers written and ready to file. And we need to file them every 4 or 5 days over the course of the next 30, 35 days. And again, it's going to every oath taker on the state and federal level. It's going to the Joint Chief of Staff. It's going to the FBI special agents in charge. It's going to the marshals, all U.S. marshals. It's going to every sheriff in America. It's going to every state judge, every federal judge. It's going to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's going to U.S. Congress, the U.S. senators, every one of them. It's going to every state assemblyman, all 50 states. It's going to every state senator, all 50 states. It's going to all 50 governors. It's going to everyone, okay? When you put their sins on paper in 94 federal district courts, and then you copy all of these people, if anything's going to do what has to be done, this is going to do it.
Okay, John, well, I would say that is worth a special one-time donation of $60 from each of the 50 states. And for those states that are strapped, I'm sure that there would be other states that would want to donate on their behalf. So I invite you to initiate a nationwide one-time challenge to each state to quickly donate $60 per state specifically for the fax campaign.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, and you just done it. So let's go forward with that. Jan is handling and dealing with all of the district coordinators who deal with all of the state coordinators. So Jan can deliver that message on Wednesday's meeting to all state coordinators for each state to get together and send $60 in. And you're right, that's not a big number at all for each state to deal with. And times 50, that's $3,000, and that definitely pays for that bill.
Okay, I myself will pledge $60 right now in front of everybody. So I hope that gets the ball rolling, and good luck.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate that. Dave, anything else, Dave?
That's it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Gerard, are you ready to take over?
Sure, you got the good call. No, I'm only kidding. Okay, that was very nice. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Catherine's next. What are you talking about? She's nice.
Well, I didn't say that. I just said you got the good call. This call might be better.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to hit next. Okay, Catherine, you're unmuted. Or you should be. Why is the check mark so next door? There you go.
Hi.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Hello? Your mic is way, way too high.
Yeah, you're auto-modulating. Back off your mic. Move your mic a couple inches away.
How about now?
Move it a little more. Maybe. Yeah. How far is it from your mouth right now?
Oh, my goodness. I think
how far is it from your mouth, roughly? 2 inches? 5 inches?
One.
Well, right now you sound good, so keep low like that and talk. You're good.
Is it okay now?
Just keep your voice low, just like you're doing now. Just talk in a low voice, and go ahead. We hear you.
How are you guys?
It sounds like when God talked to Noah. Hello, Noah. You're pretty loud.
Let me try it a different way, okay? I'm going to take off my headset.
Yeah, maybe you can. I think it's, you know, you could turn them down. You have methods to turn them down.
Yeah, but if she puts it a foot away from her mouth, it should be okay.
Wow.
Now maybe she's got a bad mic.
I don't know.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, you're really crackling and breaking up. You got a lot of interference there.
If you can ask your question short, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, it did come through. No good. It's really bad.
Yeah, we're sorry. I think we're going to have to move on because we're not getting anywhere with this.
Yeah, try to figure out if you can turn it down or get another mic.
I think your mic is done.
You're not coming in at all, you really.
Yeah, you're going to have to move on, Gerard. She's going to need another mic.
Okay. Okay, next question. I don't know. This is anonymous. Anonymous.
First name and state.
I'm not anonymous.
Last time I thought it was him and it was somebody else.
Yeah.
Hey.
No, I mean, I just typed in star 6 or whatever. No, I just wanted, you know, I was going to ask about what John thought about Jade Helm, and we got about 4 weeks to get our government to back down. Otherwise, I think anything could happen between July and September 15th.
We cannot permit them to do anything in July. We must stop them from doing anything in July, August, September. We must stop them. And that's what we have the potential of doing with our paperwork, as long as we can get our paperwork out. And we're working day and night to do that, and I believe our fax system is going to be set up in the next 48 hours or so, and we're going to start pumping them. So, yeah, Jade Helm is a ruse here. We believe they're going to start confiscating guns. That's what I believe, anyway.
And rounding up this sentence.
And they're going to get a false flag going. They're going to have some people fire on the troops, and then it's going to spread out, and they'll go into their...
It's on, right. Very scary. If not
and
for
then,
our
then
face,
they're gonna
I'd
move,
be scared.
Yeah, they're going to move then into, you know, what do you call it,
martial law.
We're not going to permit that, and we look at... This is why people got to get active right now. There is no more time. July is the end of the world unless we stop it. That's it. And we can do it. We got 30 days to do it in, period. And when you see what we put into the courts, you're going to agree. Believe me, you're going to say, wow. But let me get off the mic. Go ahead, Gerard.
Well,
you take it off.
All that is turning the light on and dispelling the dark. You know, once you lay their crime out and you turn the light on it, it's very hard for them to do it and have
all
it
I want to say is God bless you guys for what you're doing. I've always supported John and Gerard and National Liberty Alliance, Shake and Wake Radio, everybody waking to the truth, standing up for freedom and justice. God bless everybody. We got 30 days to do something.
Okay, well, we appreciate that. Thanks a lot, Rick. Okay, is that it? Oh, I guess he's gone. Thank you very much,
Rick.
Yeah,
I'm done. That's it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Julie from Montana, you got the mic.
Okay. One of my members in Montana came across a book called... Meet Your Straw Man, and then he realized that it came from National Liberty Alliance. So I was just going to ask if you guys know about that.
Well, we have a video called Meet Your Straw Man up on the learning section of the site.
Uh-huh.
It's a little video. It's kind of cute.
I guess maybe we do.
I don't know. I thought it was a. I know there's a video, and we might have to actually the booklet too.
No, we don't have the booklet. We have the video up there, and we didn't create that video, but we saw it, and we imprinted it into our website because it was excellently done. Uh-huh. So
there's a book out there that says it's from the National Liberty Alliance, I guess.
Well, we have a jurist handbook that we wrote, and and as a matter of fact, we sell them at 100 at a time for 68 cents a piece, so it's $68, which includes, also shipping and handling. And so you get 100 booklets, and they're the same size as a pocket constitutional handbook. So that's what this is. It's a pocket jurist handbook.
Mm-hmm. But you don't know about a book called Meet Your Strawman.
No. Unless somebody put one out and put our name on it, I don't know.
Yeah, we're not familiar with that.
Okay.
You know, I'm trying to think. You know, we might have went through that process, wrote it down, and put it into a PDF. That's a possibility. Because we've written so much. We have so much stuff on our website. After a while, you know, sometimes I've written things and I'm up there reading this stuff and it doesn't dawn on me. I say, oh, wait a second, I wrote this. So we have so much stuff up there, you know, so much educational stuff. We got so many people who have contributed to knowledge of these things over the past 200 years, and we've got it all up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I don't know where the book came from, but it says NLA on the back, I guess.
Well, someone might have done something and then put NLA and for you to come to our website so that because that's what we're about is Meet Your Straw Man information. We support what that is all about, what that covers. So
yeah, that's the same as people buy the Constitution books and they put the stamp on the back. They put NLA. You know, when they're trying to get memberships in their counties. Doing the drive to bring membership, a lot of times you'll see a little book, and it will have our information on the back because that's what they're soliciting you for, to join.
Yeah.
So that's probably what happened with that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all I have tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe go look at the Meet Your Straw Man video and see if the book is better than the movie or what.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you.
Yeah. Paul from Hawaii, how you doing? Aloha, Paul.
Hi, how you doing, Gerard?
Very good.
So I just wanted to pipe in here and let you know that the Hawaiian Kingdom is active against the oligarchy, and you've probably heard or about the DMT, which is this gigantic telescope that they would like to put on the sacred grounds of Mauna Kea.
Yeah, I remember.
The Hawaiians have stopped that. I was up there on the mountain yesterday with them. They're doing a very good job. 31 people were arrested. They will be appearing in court on the 7th. I will be there as a court observer and attempt to make a report. No cameras are allowed in this courtroom except...
Are they in jail right now, Paul?
No. They're out. They're out of jail. The judge has given back their bond money. But they have to appear. They're going to be arraigned. And that's going to be an interesting case. A attorney from the Hawaiian Kingdom, well, I shouldn't say from the Hawaiian Kingdom, but representing people, has called for common law. So
let me go to the hearing, get your witnesses to go. If they start to face any kind of jail sentence, if that's the way they're going, get in touch with our committee, our investigation committee, and they'll help you guys put together a habeas corpus, and we'll just remove them right out of their hands.
Thank you. I will do that.
But let's see if they're facing that kind of thing. You know, if they're only facing fines and stuff, we don't want to put a habeas corpus in on that. But, you know, they can sue, of course, and go through the common law procedure for that and deal with that problem. But if they're going to be facing any kind of a jail sentence, by all means, let's do what we got to do and shut that court down.
And my co-coordinator has filed a counter suit against one of the state judges here. They failed to respond. She immediately sent them a writ of quo warranto, and the following day she received the information that they were withholding from her. So the judges here know, because I've issued the writ of quo warranto to one who has acknowledged receipt of it. Things are just getting very interesting now. Our mayor of Hawaii County was served on December the 1st by myself. The writ of quo warranto, he has been busted for using the county charge card for miscellaneous activities. There's a movement to impeach him or just to remove him from office. So that's going to be interesting also.
You know, that shows the power of the paper and the power of the pen and the paper that we'll put together. You know, the case that we're doing with this guy, Stephen, it's an hour and a half long. We have the court hearing. And the first judge that came on, the moment she realized that this court case involved NLA, because they mentioned NLA in the courtroom, and then she heard that this was the guy, Stephen, that served that court, and it's a federal court, and he served all the state courts, that this was this guy who filed that paper in that court, she lost all of her composure. She shut down the microphone, covered the microphone. You can hear her whispering. She come on and says, I'm recusing myself from this case because I know you. And Stephen said, you know, I don't know you. How do you know me? She says, oh, no, it doesn't matter. I know you. And then she lost all of her composure. She couldn't wait to get out of that courtroom. So we know just that one paper, the power that it's happened. And this is not the first time we heard of this. There are other things we're hearing. These people are not sleeping. And that's just one paper. We have eight more papers as powerful as, and even, I think, as a matter of fact, a couple of them, I think, more powerful than that. And, matter of fact, I'm not thinking. I know more powerful than that quo warranto. So this is the answer, which is just turn the lights on everywhere. And these people that live in darkness and act in darkness require darkness as cover. And when you remove that darkness, believe me, it all falls apart.
Another thing that has occurred here last week, a group of people from Kauai, which is being sued by Syngenta, Dow, and Pioneer Chemical Companies, this group went to Syngenta's headquarters in Switzerland, and they were able to have one member deliver a message to the board. It was quite interesting. There is some videos on YouTube if anyone is interested to see what's going on. So there's a lot of activity. Monsanto is very heavy in all of the islands here, and this is going to be a real battle. The Hawaiian people are standing up to them, and I'm just glad to be here at this time to see all of this activity occur. And the last thing I would like to say is that I have been an Oath Keeper since the inception. I'm also a former Marine Corps staff officer, and I would like to volunteer to assist in talking with our militia.
Well, you very much sound qualified, so absolutely. Talk with Jan or talk with Robert and get your name and information, and we'll set you up on that page, and you and I will talk a little once we set the page up. Write a Well, we'll talk about it. Talk with Jan and talk with Robert, and we'll get together on it, okay?
I'll do that.
We appreciate
it. That's all I have.
And we're also looking for anybody. Aloha, Paul. Appreciate it. We're looking for anybody who we'd love to get an ex-sheriff. We do have one ex-sheriff working with us, but he's in a committee that he's really involved with, and he works out well in that committee. But we'd like to get another ex-sheriff, if possible, that will lead our sheriff's committee. Extremely important. Or a deputy. You know, they didn't have to necessarily be a sheriff. If they were a deputy, that's good, too. In that particular committee, we'd like to get somebody who was an ex-sheriff or deputy, because it's easier for an ex-sheriff or a deputy to talk to sheriffs and deputies. So let's see what we can do about that.
All right, John.
Thank you, Paul.
God bless you,
Take care, Gerard. Aloha.
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 Okay, Nate Kramer.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, so we've got about 8 weeks then to get this Jade Helm, or did you say 4 weeks?
Well,
we need to do what we got to do in 4 weeks. 8 weeks till Jade Helm starts to go into effect. We need to do what we got to do in four.
Gotcha. Okay, so these papers are ready to go and ready to fax out right away. The reason I ask is because we were looking at a 6-week window at one time about 4 or 5 months ago. About
correct.
You know, getting into the courts in 6 weeks.
Yeah, we figured out 4 days. Okay. Per paper. So 7, 14, 21, 28, that's 32 or 34 days. So if it takes us, 35, 37 days to do it, it's within our window of time.
And so these papers are guaranteed to stop the military in their tracks?
I believe so. I believe that this will stop.
How does that work?
I do truly believe it.
So we'll send it to the corrupt judges in the corrupt courts. And they will make sure that the Army and all the joint forces cease operations immediately?
No, that's not how it's going to work. You see, they're able to do what they do because they do what they do in darkness. Most of the people don't know about Jade Helm. Most of the people don't know about a lot of things going on. And so as long as they can continue undercover, they're good. Once they're exposed, you see, they're exposed to us, but they're not too concerned. But they are now concerned because I think that it's reaching that point where too many people know, and they fear that. When every individual that is a oath taker, in other words, someone who is a servant on a federal level and a state level, and especially law enforcement, when they know what's going on, and we reveal, and they see it with no uncertain terms. Believe me, our papers are very powerful. And again, we do nothing without authorities. So everything we have, we show the authorities and where we got our info from. So when they hear and see all these things, now they're going to be worried because, look, it's the duty of the sheriff to arrest anyone for subversion against the United States of America.
Okay, so the county sheriffs then will shut this whole thing down.
Sheriffs, the marshals, and the FBI,
they're all law enforcement officials. They have to uphold the Constitution, and we have laid it out that they're violating that.
The right papers to the right fax machines, then that's to me, it sounds a little short-sighted. I thought maybe
I promise you, when you see these papers, and as we file them, we will reveal them and post them. We'll be talking about them on Mondays. And I promise
fantastic.
You, when you see these papers, you're going to say, whoa, okay? Uh-huh. You're going to see the power and the authority that these papers are written in. And I'm telling you, they're powerful.
Now, have you read? I read today. I think it was on Drudge that they're planning on shutting 43 Walmarts in the next week.
That's pretty scary. That confirms more of what they're doing if they're going to shut all those Walmarts.
They say it's for electrical this time instead of plumbing.
Electrical. Look, I always thought those things were built like concentration camps. They got big high walls with no windows, and they got a fenced-in exercise yard. called the Garden Center.
You know, they got they're closing them down in 9 more states than Jade Helms even being held in. So chances are Jade Helms is going to be much bigger, it sounds like. So you may want to send papers to those states where these other Walmarts are shutting down.
Well, every state is getting this. We're not just sending them to the state. This is throughout the United States, these faxes. They're going to all 50 states. Nobody's going to be in the dark with this. And that's part of the point. Look, if you were going to rob a bank and you had a gun on you and somebody went, he's going to rob the bank, you know what? I think you'd turn the next corner and you wouldn't go do it, would you?
Yeah, but who's going to stop him? They got all the guns, right? I mean, I hate to say it, but old Sheriff Joe Arpaio isn't quick on the draw. It's maybe the first armored division or what have you.
Well, the guys that are putting it on will stop it because once they're seen, that they know that they're going to be held accountable. You know, I don't know who's going to stop who, but any one of those oath takers can arrest any one of those other people that are doing it.
They're going to see that fact. They're going to know that they're going to have to answer to the NRA if they don't stand down.
It'll be too late.
They're going to say, take the NRA out.
It's too late. Once the paperwork is out and everybody knows, we can stand down. It doesn't matter. Everybody knows.
No, what I'm saying is that's going to threaten them enough. They're going to know that the recourse is they're going to have to go up against our common law grand jury and face justice if they don't stand down.
That's right.
I see.
That's right. They're going to go up against their bosses, who are we the people. We're their bosses, and we have the facts.
Those must be some powerful papers, my friend.
I'm telling you, they can't deny it. They can't answer it, because the only way they can answer it is saying, well, we don't believe in the Constitution anymore. They're not going to say that. They're not ready to do that. That would wake too many people up. And listen, we got a lot of good, make no mistake about it, we got a lot of good people in the military. That's why they need all these foreign troops. Because I do not believe that the majority of our military men are going to, once they realize what's going on, they're not going to go along with it. They're going to need mercy.
How many countries now do they have troops coming in on this Jade Helms?
Well, I don't know specifically. Do we have a number on that? I know there's Russian troops and Chinese troops. I don't know, you know.
I knew the Ruskies were coming.
They're empowering gangs. They got ISIS on the border. They got everything set up. It's not good.
That the Latinos and the other gangs joined up.
Well, this is what I'm told is that and this is from a friend of mine who's retired CIA. He says the reason Obama's opening up Cuba is he's bringing in communists to this Jade Helm thing as well. All these communists from Cuba are going to be coming in, and it's going to look totally normal because he just opened up relations. And watch out for that too. Talk about a boat lift, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like a real cluster, but hey, whatever it is, it is. But the people are waking up, and so they got. You know, the trouble with Obama is he's not an American, and he doesn't understand what it is to be an American. And he just, you know, we've been dumbed down, we've done a lot of things, but you know what? We're still Americans. And I think that's
nobody's proved that, though. But he's got the Hawaiian birth certificate. The Hawaiian Department of Health has confirmed him, haven't they?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't pay attention to that whole thing because all I know is the day that he released his stupid birth certificate, you know, everybody was worried about his birth certificate, and that was the day that they were the first time they ever interviewed and pulled on the carpet the Federal Reserve. So he waited till that day to release his birth certificate.
That proves he was born somewhere.
You always got to watch these guys because they're magicians. You know, when they're sticking something like Jade Helm in your face, you got to wonder what they're doing with the other hand. You know, and don't forget, we're also broke, and the money system's going down. So they need something. You know, they're desperate now.
You know, it is amazing how they can do that, how they can pretend that the stock market's just going through the roof, and that they can pretend that jobless numbers are down. and all at the same time, and the economy is just in the toilet. It's amazing.
Yeah, and now they're going to pretend martial law.
They're going to pretend martial law. I mean, this is just, it's outrageous.
But listen, I got to tell you something. The money's a bunch of baloney. It's a paper tiger. Look, it could go down. We don't need it. They want us to think we need it. We have so many resources in this country and so much new technology. If they let it go, we could be everybody could be rich in this country overnight if they released everything that they have that they're holding back. And they know that. Obama knows that. Obama knows how much natural gas and oil we have. As a matter of fact, that's what he's going to fund his that's his plan to fund his war. Is all this?
Well, they've already got underground tunnel, underground pipeline coming from, this whole pipeline that's been a big fiasco lately is the ruse, because they've actually got underground pipelines coming from the tunnels under the closed targets up in Canada, in Alberta, and they come all the way down under the Walmarts through that same tunnel structure that they're using for Jade Helm. And that's transporting oil already.
Yeah, well, they're doing a lot of things, but I don't think, they'll be foiled. However it happens, it happens. Like I said, knowledge is power.
Now, listen, I want to know what I can do to help. I've tried joining the NLA several times now, and I went in and logged in and did your test for 8 or 9 hours. Got way into it with a lot of the good videos you have, and then I can't log back in, and I emailed Gary, and he says that I never existed, and so what I really like to do
I saw that email going through. Look at, do this, join again, try to do it tomorrow if you can.
Did today.
Okay, did you get through?
Well, I got a letter saying I was under moderation, or I was under. And being vetted or something.
Yeah, because we've been having so many trolls come in. So right now, every person that we have a welcoming committee, and so now they set it up. All of the leaders came together. The national leaders, and they decided, well, let's vet the people. We're going to call them anyway, so let's call them within a day or two and welcome them in and make sure they're real people coming in with real information, and the phone number will tell us. And also the email, which should, also prove the fact that there's somebody.
Yeah, and so my question is the time I spent working on the quiz, since I had to re-register, is that going to be just totally gone?
Well, look, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Listen, why don't you do this? Why don't you give me a call tomorrow, okay? I got a doctor's appointment tomorrow at, let me see what time that is, 11 o'clock. I should, it's a travel. I got to drive an hour, so 11, 12, 1, 2. I should be back by 2 o'clock Eastern time, 2, 3 o'clock. Give me a call 2, 3 o'clock, and I'll go online and see what I can find out. Okay?
All righty. What number did I call you at?
845.
All right.
233.
Yep.
6560. And if I don't answer, just try me again an hour later.
Well, I'd sure like to see some of these papers. And I think we really ought to, push the issue of getting into these courts before the Jade Helm.
Oh, believe me. We've got the Quo Vadis. And we have, a lot of papers ready to come. We're not going to release them until we file them. Once they're in the facts and going out.
We don't have any keys to the courtroom yet, and that's not going to help until we have those keys.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to release them, every 4 days. And so every Monday we'll have one or two papers to read.
All righty. Well, what I like to do is just get my registration in so I can be part of the team.
Okay, give me a call tomorrow. Let's fix that, okay?
Fantastic. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Nate.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right, now.
Okay, next question, next person is Charles from New York.
Gerard, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
It's me, Charlie.
Hey, Charlie. Hey,
I want to shock some people right now.
Oh, boy.
But... Yeah, no, it's a good thing, but it has to be said. Okay, you know that The VA is losing between 22 to 28 suicides of servicemen every single day. In 10 days, on an average of 25 a day, that's every 10 days, 250 former servicemen are committing suicide. You multiply that by 30 days a month, that's 750 a month, that's 9,000 Americans a year committing suicide. If that doesn't shock the people who are sitting on the fence and can't make up their mind to get involved in this movement to take back the courts, which will lead us to take back the country, I don't know what will.
Well, well said. Well said. People have to shake themselves, you know what I mean?
9,000 a year. That's not counting those who are also losing their lives to their other injuries. So when you look at the figures, it's really, really shocking. Okay?
Yeah, we don't lose that many people a year to illegal drugs even, you know what I mean? And we got a war on that.
People come down with measles, and they want to inoculate the whole country.
Yeah.
And not one person lost their life to measles in the last 13 years. They gave the inoculations out. You lost 110 people in the first 30 days.
Yeah, well,
what's wrong with you?
They want to control your body, that's all. They want to be able to tell you what you got to put in it so that when it's time to take you out, they'll just give you some inoculation and away you go.
Well, look, they have so many, how should we say, a bag of black tricks that they can play on us. But I think the people are waking up. The people are coming. And I think they know this.
Yeah, yeah. They do.
And always remember one thing, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, is desperate people do desperate things.
Right, right.
What's 12 this? Minutes.
That's what.
All right, I'm done.
Yeah, call. Okay. He says when people
see
have
later,
left to lose, they lose
they
it.
Did.
Yep.
Got
okay.
That right. Next. Good night, gentlemen.
Yeah, good night. Thank you, Charlie.
11 minutes.
Okay.
Jersey. Disappointing little thing on militia in New Jersey. I had a conversation with Lieutenant Colonel Mays about reactivating New Jersey's volunteer militia. Her attitude, we don't need you, and when we need you, we'll call you up. I think she didn't get to listen to General Pershing in Europe wouldn't allow his troops to become part of the Allies until they were trained. You can't train anyone if they don't in leadership without that capacity. And I was asking questions. She said, well, you're now becoming a nuisance. I said, how can I become a nuisance if I'm asking you to do something? I have the right to address the grievance of the First Amendment right. And these people are thicker than mud, and you really can't talk to the right people. As much as you try to talk to them, they don't want to listen. Just back to you for a second. Comment?
Well, you know what? There's a lot of people that are truly, truly ignorant. I was talking to somebody else about a certain, you know, marshal that was mad at us because we're going after the juries. And he said, those are our courts and those are our juries. And, you know, he's worried that we're going to take their money away and take them out of the court and all this. Totally missing the idea that we don't have a, you know, they're accusing us of coming in, and John in particular. They think we're bringing a jury in and we're going to collect money and we're going to sit there and take their place, sit in their chair and collect their money. That's their attitude. Oh, you're going to come in and push us out and take our money away and our jurors and our courts. So, you know, and we found cases where they've had jurors that have been in for years, grand jury foreman. That's a total abuse of what the system was intended to be. Anyway, anything else?
As far as the not necessarily part of the media committee, but I am working with Rick on Shake and Wake Radio from Mondays and Fridays 2 to 4, trying to spread the word of National Alliance and our liberties. So if anybody wants to come in and talk or listen, it's at Shake and Wake Radio from 2 to 4 Monday and Friday.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. And we'll talk later about that, what we had talked about this afternoon. But the real irony is that as much as people think they're safe, we are doing our best. I give everyone kudos for getting involved and doing what they have to. But the real thing is that we're dealing with bricks, and we are the keystone. Without us, there's nothing stands. Back to you, and thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Jason.
Bye-bye.
I don't know. This is a blank. It doesn't even show a number or anything. I don't know who's there. I don't know where it's from. I don't know if that's a valid. I opened somebody up. Mr. Anonymous. I don't think that that's a valid spot. I'm going to move to the next one, which is... ends in 3179 wireless call.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I'm from Allegheny County in Pennsylvania, and I'm trying to be an administrator, and I already passed the first test. And should I take my vow and send it in now while waiting for the other two tests?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
All right,
well,
I have a couple other questions.
The administrative vow, you should send it in. And as far as the jurist vow, you need to do it and keep it in your own county. But, yeah, we do have a vow set up for anybody becoming an administrator. In order to be an administrator, you have to vow, you know, the principles and also get involved in some committee because you need to start to get educated to get involved.
That's my other question. I try to sign up, and things just ain't working out when on the website. I mean,
what did you try to sign up for?
I don't care. I have a lot of knowledge in law.
Okay.
You tried to go on the
and
grievance.
I also am a motivator. I'm a pusher, and I have a couple other questions. What any county that's in their common pleas court with the common with jury, you know, grand jury.
What about it? What do you mean?
Is there any county so far got their foot in the door of the common police court for the common law grand jury?
Not really. No. There's no judge.
I'm trying to push my county to get that foot in the door because it has to get done.
Oh, it's going to get done.
I mean,
we thought Florida was
not that hard.
Well, look at everything that we're doing, okay, is motivated and moving towards that. And that's why we're in the federal courts, because once we move into the federal courts, there are 94 districts. Once we move into the federal courts, now we're automatically in the state, because the federal courts now require the states to do this process.
Okay, a couple other questions. Are you a member of the Republic for the United States?
A member? I don't even know what you're talking about. A member
there's
of the Republic?
There's a website. It's called www.republicfortheunitedstates.org.
Yeah, I never heard of
it. And they said they elected a president, and they had filed the Whitacroat.
We're not involved with any of those people. They're doing things contrary to what we're doing. They've come outside of the authorities that are there. Okay, they can be considered, and this is a very serious matter. Those people, this de facto government, these de facto governments that we have, could consider them subversion to the United States and probably be able to build a good case, and I doubt they'd be able to build a case against that. And if they don't know how to get out of their courts, then it's just another problem. But yeah, that's the wrong way to doing it. Look, we have a government out there. Everything is in place. It's just that these people, we have people who are tyrants and have taken control of various parts of our government. Excuse me. And so, therefore,
know,
what we need to
me,
do is
know,
deal
I
with those tyrants.
I'm
so
just trying
to
figure out the right course to take back this country. That's why I joined you.
Get into
and
the
I
committees
also joined
and get
them
involved.
I like what
that's,
they said, but I don't
listen,
understand what they said.
get into the committees, get involved, learn the paperwork, and when you're ready, you start to take the process. Look, we're telling every state to start writing writing writs of habeas corpus, but you can't do it until you learn how to
do
it properly.
That's not the problem.
Yes, but hold it. If you do it, it's got to be approved by NLA. We got to make sure that it's done really properly, because I'll tell you what, I have not met anyone who's been able to do it properly yet. The only one that I've seen do it properly, and that is that's Bill Thornton, okay? But we have taken it beyond Bill Thornton, because we're not just the people. We're the people under the authority through the Unified Common Law Grand Juries, when there's a lot of authority for that, and we're taking it the next step. Everything we do is from the jurist. It's coming from the King's Bench. So it's a whole different focus, and it really, really upsets these people.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple other questions, brother. I'm sorry, but you know...
Just so you know, we only got
Chris
2 minutes
Ann
left.
Hall.
So.
Do you know Chris Ann Hall?
Who?
Chris Ann Hall. She's
a Constitutional
attorney.
I know who she is. I gave her speech lectures.
She may help what we need to accomplish. And I think she's willing to do that.
Chris Ann is good people. I know who she is. I gave her video to our Congressman Gibson when he was signing the NDAA, because she did a wonderful expose on why the NDAA wasn't what they were claiming it was, and she laid it out pretty good. So I do know who she is, and she is very good. So, you know, if we could get her on board, we'd welcome her. You know,
well,
she should introduce
her to us, send them to our front page, tell her to watch the videos and read papers, and if she's interested, she can join up and then jump into the committees and get involved.
She's a no-brainer. She looks at our stuff.
I got some more questions.
We're going to be out of 30 seconds.
Yeah, we've only got
now
2 minutes left.
I understand that you want him to come to you instead of you going to him. Why?
Hold it. We don't, you know, us, from me, the leadership of this organization, it's not appropriate for us to go out on a mission to bring someone in. If we have opportunity to share because we're on the trail, so to speak, and we meet up with this one or that one, and of course we're going to speak, we're going to talk, and then we'll convince each other of things that are necessary to save the nation, of course that'll take place. With Sheriff Mack, we took the extra step. I wrote him a personal letter, a few pages, sent him a copy of a few things we're doing, and I haven't heard back.
You had a relationship before. That's the difference.
Well, I'm just asking because, when I go to the meeting tomorrow, this is all going to be talked about.
Listen, you can ask them. Look, you can ask them if you know them, if you're talking to them face-to-face. It's just that we don't want to do a cold... What do you call it? Like a cold call where we call them and say, "Hey, so and so." It's better if you break the ice and then let them go to the website too.
But I mean, we got to preach this like you do the word for Jesus. You know what I mean? Or else we're not going to accomplish what we need to accomplish. Now I plan on going to gun clubs and handing out literature to people, whatever it takes to wake them up to what's going on. Because I'm a doer, you know what I mean.
You got to continue. That's what we do. We got all the gun clubs up here. We did the same thing. We went into the tea parties and the gun clubs at the beginning. That's how we got started.
The purpose of the committees are to go out there and drum things up in whatever area their committees are in. That's why we created them. You know, Gerard and myself and a few others up on the national level, we are so busy. How could we handle all those things? You know, when people go out and they bring things in, you know, they'll bring us into a radio program that's interested in having us, and we'll respond, and we will schedule them, and we'll go on their radio program. We get people for interest, and we're not going to go chase down anybody on a radio or TV program, but our people and our committees, that's their job, is to go out and to excite that. We haven't got time to do those things. We have other things to do. But when they excite them to come here, we do everything we can to participate in whatever way we can with them. But you know, you also got to realize the wisdom of letting people come to you. Because, look, this is what we're doing. They have to see and agree and believe in what we're doing. And when they do that, then they come to us. And whatever background they have, whatever, you know, experience they have, we'll put it together at the best you can in a place, you know, within our website. Look, at if there's another kind of committee, we ask people all the time, if there's any other committee that we haven't started yet that should be started, propose it. Let's look at it. And generally, most of the committees that have been proposed, we went forward with, you know?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I tried to sign up for the grievance committee, and I'm getting kind of lost on it. I mean, every time I click it on, it says...
I think the grievance committee has been combined with the investigative committee, and that's Greg who's running that. Just go to the directory. Click on the directory. And I don't know whose name is at the grievance. Let me go take a quick look to see if anybody's name is on the grievance committee yet. But that's going to be combined.
There's no name on it. It needs to come off.
Right, because that's been combined with the investigative response committee. So get a hold of Greg. Call him up and tell him you want to work with him. Believe me, he's not going to turn you away.
Yeah, well, Nate, when that guy made a pledge for all the 50 states, I think you should make a pledge for every county. So I'm giving $60 tomorrow at the meeting for the Allegheny County, and I think all the counties should pledge to give $60.
Well, we appreciate that, and that would be, boy, that would be a shot in the arm. We'd be able to do all kinds of things.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's not that expensive. It's every county $60. Four people, $15. So what if it comes out of your pocket? Work a little harder to make the money.
No, we appreciate that. You're absolutely right. You know, we have to look at, we have to support what we believe in, not only with our time, but with our money. And nobody has to put a lot of money. Like you say, $15 out of someone's pocket is not a big deal. We can all do that. Goodness, $5 a month that we've asked for is far less than the tax you would pay on a coffee and a donut or a roll every morning throughout the month. You're going to pay more in taxes on that than you will on the $5 that you might give us. So everybody can afford that.
Well, you know? I really appreciate what you're doing, and I agree with what you're doing 100% because the pen is mightier than the sword.
Amen.
But I don't understand about that Republic of the United States, and I need a little more clarification because did they or did they not fulfill those seats that they said were vacated? And if they did, because they're talking about a republic state, that's what we're about, getting that republic state.
Yeah, well, those people from different directions, so to speak, those people have approached us on numerous occasions. We will not connect to them because we're not doing that. We're doing something different. Look, it doesn't matter if Hitler is the president of the United States, and right now he very well may be, but it doesn't matter if Hitler is the president of the United States. If the people are in charge and have the power and the authority to remove him from office through an indictment, then believe me, he's going to pay attention. He's going to.
I'm all for that because I can't stand treason. You know what I mean? What are we doing as a corporation in the first place? That's not what
exactly.
This country was made from.
That's corporatism. That's treason.
Yeah. But, I mean, and it's admiralty jurisdiction in the common pleas court. What kind of crap is that? You know what I mean? I really hate it. And that's what I know both laws now. Because since I joined you, I've been nothing but studying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I blew through your first part. I mean, I blew through it. In less than a month, I completed your course. That's how much knowledge I possess.
Appreciate it. Really? Yeah, that we got a lot of stuff in. That's 120 hours of power-packed information that every American should have.
Well, yeah, but I mean, also, like I said, I'm spreading the word. When people realize they're coming for you, they may stand up, but they got to understand that we have to be one voice.
That's right, and we have to look at. They'll get us into a position. Look at if Jade Helm comes through, and it's only pretend, and people are being arrested. After all, it's only pretend, and people are being brought to concentration camps, and guns are being confiscated. It's
well,
only
see,
pretend.
I don't
get
think
away
it's
with
gonna
the
happen
pretend
like
so
that,
long.
Brother. Because people have guns. Okay, once they realize they're coming to get you, they're going to strap up, and it's on.
Right,
but
once
I don't
they
think it's going to come
that,
to that because.
Let me see if there's a news blackout and nobody knows. Look, it, if you're one of the first ones picked up, and once the word gets out, then it's lock and load. I'm ready to rock and roll then, because then you got to do what you got to do. But until then, you're not going to shoot on someone. You're not going to resist that because you don't know what's going on yet. You know?
Well, the best warning to tell people, if you can't communicate to one another by any means whatsoever, whether it be the internet, your cell phone, because obviously they got the fire to shut it all off. Now you know something's up, and it's time to lock and load.
Well, that's true. But, you know, there's got to be some confirmation, and we have to all agree, although I agree on that. There's got to be some confirmation. It'll eventually come out, but you see, looking. They're going to try to take out the leadership and the big mouths first. And then that's going to make it harder for other people to know, okay, because that's what's going to happen first. And so that's why we have to shut down Jade Helm. We can't permit it to go forward.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. So Pete Santilli, even though he don't have a whole lot of followers, he did have over 100,000 views from the Baltimore riots, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he said he met that Sheriff Mackey person, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So why don't he contact Sheriff Mack on your behalf for him to contact?
Well, he broadcast us. He's listening right now. If he's not listening now, he'll listen to it later because he does broadcast us. And so he just got your message. Let's see what he does. Look, we've had someone already
set up.
If he got
my message, call Mack up and tell him to get a hold of National Liberty Alliance so we can get this thing going.
A lot of people have done that. The ball's in his pocket. I wrote a very personal letter to him. And I have no response from it. Because, look, Sheriff Mack thinks I'm somebody else. I'm not that person who he thinks. Okay? Look, Sheriff Mack was approached by a guy about a year ago who was doing what we're doing. He wasn't doing what we're doing, but he was doing something with grand juries. He lied and told people that he had 600 sheriffs behind him, that Sheriff Mack was with him, and he's working with Sheriff Mack and all this stuff. And when Sheriff Mack went to a meeting with a bunch of sheriffs out west, and this guy showed up, and he was using and dropping Sheriff Mack's name, he really got pissed off, and he let it know, I have nothing to do with this guy. And the guy did all this wrong stuff. But let me explain something. Sheriff Mack thinks I'm that guy. But anybody who's been with National Liberty Alliance from its inception knows I have never said we had Sheriff Mack, ever.
No, I understand all that. I'm just saying for you two to connect. You know what I mean?
But we tried.
I listened to what you're saying, and I believe everything what you're saying.
He is
and
a
you
guy.
Are an educated he, man. I can tell that.
He is a guy that we did reach out for. We did, okay? It's in his court. We've had two people try to set up meetings, and he said that he would come to the meetings, and they didn't show up. They had one meeting with a group in Colorado who was going a whole different direction than what we're doing, and they blew out that whole potential meeting between myself and him. I wasn't even invited to that, and I never got the call to go onto that call, okay? But I did happen to go onto that call, and they shut me down on it, okay? And those were supposed to be NLA people in Colorado doing the work with us for what we were doing. And that was one of the reasons they were doing some UCC stuff. And I heard that, I don't know how true this is, but I heard through, you know, matter of fact, someone mentioned this last week or the week before, that the guy who was leading that pack and putting these things on judges got arrested. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what someone said online just recently. But that's why we stay away from those things. Anything that's going to get someone put in jail, we tell people, don't get involved in that stuff. It's too dangerous. Let's do what is in the Constitution. Read our papers. Everything we do is constitutional. It's within common law. It's backed by the United States Supreme Court. It's their words. We're just using their words to express what needs to be done. We're using Founding Fathers' words. How could they do anything? That's why they can't do anything to us. Okay, because if they did, anybody who looks to see what we're doing, they're going to get informed and know, wait, these guys are doing the right thing. They don't want them to know that. So that's their problem. But in any event, you know, just going back to Sheriff Mack, we've written him a letter. We've had two or three meetings set up, and for some reason he didn't make it. And we're waiting. And we know he went into the hospital for a while, so, you know, we have to give him that. And, you know, we're waiting. If he wants to talk, we'll talk. And I will let him know.
I got
I'm
one
not
more
the guy
thing for you, brother, before I got to go. On your quote warrant that you sent to all these people and on the website, you said they ignored you. So what's your next step? They ignored you.
Oh, well, they ignored, they didn't say anything. And silence is guilt. It's fraud. When you have a duty to speak and you remain silent, that's fraud. They know it. They acquiesced.
Yeah.
But the bottom
well,
line.
I'm just saying, we're dealing with two different courts.
Yeah, but
here.
If you listen.
When you walk into their door, you're under admiralty. Now, how are you going to get common law in there with admiralty?
Well, because read the papers and you'll see how it is. Here's the bottom line, though, on this, okay?
I'm talking common pleas. I'm not talking federal court. I understand federal court has to do common law.
No, they don't. They don't do common law. We're bringing common
law. Constitutionally, they're supposed to.
They're supposed to, but they don't. They do the same
I know
thing.
There ain't a court system you can go to. Even a magistrate refuses to do common law.
Yes,
I went there for a traffic
point.
Ticket.
The point is
he did everything I was supposed to tell him, and he just found me guilty and moved it on. So
when
then
you
I
go
appealed it to
courts.
the court. He found me guilty, went to the Superior Court. They didn't give me my notice on when my brief was due. So now I'm waiting for their response so I can hit them with something else because they deny me my due process. You didn't send me notice when my brief was due.
We're 12 minutes past the time, but the bottom line is read the papers and you'll see the power and by what authority. You'll see that silence is a good thing because, you see, there's nothing they can say, nothing they can do. If they could argue the point, they would have made the point and they would have argued it. The fact that they didn't shows it. We hear from places all over the place. Look at the New York State judges. We've indicted down in New York City, out of New York, before we went to the federal level. And those people see us in the federal level. They saw the quo warranto. They are shaking in their boots so much that they have just started the process to move the control of the grand jury away from the prosecutor because they no longer trust the prosecutor.
It's unconstitutional
and
anyway.
Into the control
that,
of the judges.
Not due
okay,
process.
But you gotta let me finish because I want all the other people to hear. If you don't, they're moving it from there and into the judges, and the judges want to control the grand jury as much as they want to control the trial jury because they're frightened. We have a judge that lost her composure the moment that the quo warranto was mentioned in her court, and she realized that this was the guy who delivered it to her court. She wanted out, and she recused herself. Okay, this is the kind of stuff, and other things are happening. This is the kind of stuff that we're getting reports on. We already know. We've seen this happen in New York, you know, and just what we were doing before we went national, okay? You know, before we went into the federal courts, I mean. And so we know the paperwork is powerful. We've got eight papers that should have went back to back to back to back to back to the quo warranto. But it didn't happen because we just wasn't organized enough. It's hard to get two or three people to do the same thing at the same time. But to get 50 to 100 people to do it, it's near impossible. And that's why we decided to go a different route to do the faxes and control the hard paper delivery to the federal courts, all 94 of them, from here, from one place. But everyone else, of course, is behind it. Now, once we get these pages in, I guarantee you, if you read through these papers carefully and you look at the footnotes, read through them a couple of times, study what's being said, study the position, understand we're educating all of these oath takers to things they never knew, they never heard. They went to the same schools you and I did, and they don't know about these things that we're going to bring up. They never heard these Supreme Court rulings.
Well,
they never heard the Federalist Papers. They never heard these things. And when they hear them and they understand the power and the authority and then the fear of the judges to do the wrong thing in the courtroom, why? Because we just informed the sheriff on what violations are of people's unalienable rights in the courtroom, and it's their duty to arrest that judge right then and there. And when that judge reads that and knows that the sheriff and the marshals have got this, he's going to be thinking twice before he makes that move, isn't he?
Well, that's what I want to see happen.
Well, that's
I want to see cameras in the courtroom because there's
we
injustice
bring cameras
done,
in the
and that's why they won't allow cameras in the courtroom.
Well, look, if people want to see this happen, then support NLA. We need money. We've got a process. People are going to throw $60 a state or $60 a county, whatever. Look, just send. If everyone sends $5 a month, we'll have all the money we need. But let's
well,
go.
Well, I already signed up for you to get $20 a month for me personally.
Appreciate it.
Out of my credit card
perhaps,
every month. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We appreciate
it. I'm just saying, we need to get shit rolling, man. We need to rock and roll. We can't just sit around and keep waiting and waiting. I want my foot in that common pleas court. You know what I mean? You give me downtown in Allegheny County Courthouse, and I'll whoop your butt. You know what I mean?
I think this week we are going to have the faxes up and rolling. And I think next Monday we're going to be talking about the faxes up and rolling, and we're going to be reading papers. Okay?
Plus, like I said, I know a lot of people in Pennsylvania. I know a lot of people in Western Pennsylvania, and they listen to me. Because they know I'm not no joke. You know what I mean? They know I know law. They know I'm an American. They know I know my rights. But our rights, I'm tired of being a slave, man. I want to denounce everything that they did because in Pennsylvania, the inherent rights belong to the people. And at any time, we can abolish our government. So I'm trying to figure out, there's nobody to ever invoke that right. So how many people's the people? Because I even found in the voting laws that they say that Pennsylvania is a republic state. Okay? It's in our voting laws. So why can't I use that to say, well, as in a republic, since even though I'm a minority, I want to abolish what you're doing.
Right. Well, the problem is, of course, is they've taken over the courts, and we're going to change that.
Well,
stay
it's
tuned.
Late,
that's
brother.
All I
got
to
go off in the morning. I'm giving my 60 bucks. God love you, man.
Appreciate it.
I'm with
all
you,
I have
brother.
To say
I'm
is
with
stay
you.
Tuned
good night, man.
Because good night. All I have to say is stay tuned because there's some heavy duty things about to happen as soon as we get these faxes going. There's heavy-duty things that's going to be happening. With that, we're way, way overboard. We're 17 minutes beyond our time, so we're going to end. There's a few people still left in the queue, but sorry. We'll pick you up next time. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget our board meeting. We have a board meeting tomorrow right here at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Tuesday. So anybody who wants to come in and participate and watch on that, listen on that, you're welcome. With that, good night. Thanks for coming. Bye.
soon.